If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
I've been loading up all the brand new words and pithy comments for a new year.
I'm not ready.
Oh.
I'll just be over here. Okay.
Okay. I need a nap.
You know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
Okay, everybody buckled in?
Something's missing. I'm looking around.
What's missing?
You're my true love. Where are my lords of leaping? Today's the day you're supposed to give me my 10 lords of leaping.
Well, this show isn't over yet.
Oh, okay.
I want to see that video.
Well, actually, you were going to be one of those lords of leaping. Get your tights on now.
Oh, I don't know about that one. I don't know.
Get hopping, Julian.
That wasn't the small print in the memo.
Yeah, that's right.
The really small print.
We have leotards for all you guys.
Well.
Have you ever put on leotards?
No, I haven't, if you're asking me. No.
I am asking you.
You don't ever want to. I think we may have told the story before, but when Johnny and I were at another radio station and were asked to be the king and queen of the
Renaissance Fair.
Oh, okay.
King Richard's.
And it was a promotion for the station. We said, oh, okay, fine, do that. And no one told me. Literally.
No one.
We show up that day and they say, and here are your leotards. What?
And your velvet tunic.
Yes.
And your velvet pimp beret.
Yes.
It was a ginormous. It looked like you were leaning to the side with that big pimp
beret. But you got to admit, I look cool because with that tunic and beret and everything else, I kept my sunglasses and beetle boots on. So it was.
That's true. You had on beetle boots.
I did.
Wow.
And it was hot, and it was a brocade tunic, very heavy, long sleeve tunic. Of course, I thought I looked fabulous because I was wearing one of those hats.
Oh, you did.
That had all the chiffon scarves that would flow behind you, and they laced me into this dress, and I thought, oh, this is fabulous. And then I hear you through the wall. You said, I don't know how to put leotards on. How do I do this?
That was my one and only experience with leotards, and I don't choose to repeat it ever.
If you were a skater, you'd have to wear something like that because you don't want anything to slow you down.
That was the reason I never got into the Olympic skatings.
That's the reason?
Yeah, that was it. Everything else, I would have been good. But leotards, no. That was a deal breaker.
See, now you've distracted me from the fact that I don't have 10 Lords of Leaping in here.
Well, again, the show isn't over yet.
And what do I get tomorrow? That's the 11th day of Christmas.
Swans?
Is that swans?
No.
11 Pipers Piping.
Pipers Piping.
Yeah, they're just...
I'll pass.
Good luck with that.
We'll go home. It'll be like our water pipes will be piping.
Yeah, really.
That'll be it. That's a good thing, as cold as it is. You want to hear water flowing through your pipes, right? And that's literal. I'm not talking in code, people. Hear me. And then finally, the 12th day of Christmas, that, of course, is your drummer's drumming.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. But not 12 of them.
Well, depending on the drummer.
Yeah, and not 12 of them. Thank you.
Okay, there's one.
The night is young.
She's warming up.
Oh, golly. Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, kids.
Welcome to 2025. I wrote a check today. I voided that check. Because I wrote the check out for 2024.
And we reminded everybody last week.
I don't hear a lot of what you say. I'm sorry.
And I'm surprised.
That was my inside voice? I did not mean for that to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. Moving right along. We have a full show tonight.
We do. And we are going to... reconnect with a longtime friend that many of you know from this radio station and other radio stations around the Chicago area. Charlie Meyerson is going to be joining us. Charlie is now the publisher of a wonderful news site, Chicago Public Square.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
It is.
It is one of the go-to news sites that we have every day.
Wasn't it just recognized as being the best blog?
Didn't they get the Reader's Award for the best blog?
If not once, several times, but at least once, and deservedly so. There's nothing that really compares. There's nothing as good. I've seen others, and they really pale in comparison.
Yep. He puts a lot of effort into making that a first-class site where you can go and just kind of get all the news you need to start your day.
Maybe you can get him to talk a little bit about that.
You think?
Maybe. That'd be a good idea.
We'll see if we can
twist
his arm.
So we started in radio in 1977 is when we started together. Dean Richards, Charlie Meyerson, and yours truly at WMRO and WAUR in Aurora.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
It was a wonderful radio station, too, because it was like the WGN of the Fox Valley.
It really was.
Don't laugh at that, because Aurora was a big town.
That was back in the day when the suburban radio stations, they played for their own audience.
Right.
And there was a, like a WJOB in Hammond, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the outskirts of Chicago, but still... full-service radio station for their own audience, which is what WAUR was doing.
At WMRO in particular, we had a great, because we were talk and sports, and we had a great sports department and carried all the NIU Husky sports, because we were, you know, a stone's throw from DeKalb. It was a perfect fit. One of the funnest things that I ever did when I worked out there was North Aurora and North Aurora, there were competing Aurora teams, and it was such a big competition. They had me out there with the wives of the coaches from the Aurora teams. I was like, okay, is this going to be like a wrestling match? What's going to happen? I did not realize just how intense the rivalry was. And I think it's probably still that way. But it was great because they had a radio station where you could listen to those games. And it was really, it was a great service. And it was also... pretty fun to be a big fish in a small pond.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to take a quick break, and then we've got a whole lot coming up, so stay with us at WGN.
cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you'd drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my mother mine. Will start to
beautiful
worry.
What's your
my
hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really, I better scurry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think
baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
I
swell.
Ought to say no, no, no.
Mind if I move in
at
closer?
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Oh, but it's cold outside.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And baby, it's cold outside. And we're going to be playing a number of versions of Baby, It's Cold Outside tonight. Some very unusual versions. But that one you probably never heard before. That is Tony DeSere and Nicky Perreault. And before we continue, Julian was just saying, you just discovered Nicky Perreault. How did you discover her?
Yeah,
Julian?
I just discovered her this morning. We were getting breakfast with my grandfather. And we get into my brother's car, and this lovely rendition of La Mer is playing.
Mm-hmm.
She's singing in French, and it's the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
Do you know anything about Nicky Perreault?
No, not yet. I haven't had a chance to really delve in.
Okay. We have been to many concerts with Nicky Perreault. Nicky was Les Paul's bass player.
Wow, small world.
Mm-hmm.
And she is an extraordinary talent. She is originally from Australia, I believe.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I discovered that much.
And she's, in fact, we'll bring up, send you some links to some videos with Nicky and Les, and just wonderful stuff.
Oh, she was great with Les because, she could get his heart started real quick.
Because Les always wanted, for years, Les had a male bass player, and I forget his name, but he's a really good mm-hmm. bass player. And one night he was sick or something, and Nicky filled in, and they just had a chemistry, and Les loved having a foil
mm-hmm.
to go back and
she
forth.
She was perfect.
And they had yeah. more fun together.
Yeah. Great. I honestly had never heard her version of Baby, It's Cold Outside. Now, that's the straight-ahead version.
Yeah. But we've got some other versions.
By the way,
we should sometime over the next couple months, let's get Nicky on the show. Because the last time we talked with Nicky was
the night that Les passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been much too long.
But you've had that song stuck in the jukebox of your mind.
Yeah.
So we're driving to work, and I said, well, it didn't help that I'm wearing a sweater that says, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Yep.
So every time you look at me, it plays again
in your
head. And
we got to take a picture of you in that sweater.
And you said, I just need to get the song out of my head. I said, well, play it. It'll leave. No, it's not going to leave you. It's going to be haunting you the rest of the night.
But we have some truly unusual versions of that song to play for you later tonight.
Yes. People with a great sense of humor tackled the song.
Yeah.
But we're lucky. I mean, it's brisk. It'll put a spring in your step. I mean, you don't want to be standing around waiting for a bus on a night like tonight. But gosh, it looks like, compared to other parts of the country, where millions of people are bracing for not only record cold, but a whole lot of snow.
We are just north of the line of true nastiness.
Yeah. But if you're in Mississippi and Florida, and all of a sudden you're talking about sub-zero temperatures, I know in our part of Florida, we've had that. Yeah. Happened before, and I think I lost one year. I lost an orange tree, and I lost a lemon mm-hmm. tree the next year. And you wrap them up, but still, it's too much.
Yeah. So, in fact, throughout the night, if you have any cold weather tips, Feel free to yeah, stay in. That's one of the best ones.
Hug your radio.
312-981-7200 if you want to call or text. That's how you can get to us. And any cold weather tips?
I did go outside and wrap socks around our faucets outside.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good idea, right? Bob, you're chortling. I see you over there. I had already turned off the water, but I figured there's probably something still in the line through the building. So I would just take crew socks and just wrap around the faucet and then put a baggie on top of that and Ziploc that and hope for the best. That'll help.
Sure.
Yeah. It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Because that's my fear. Oh, gosh. I was just talking to someone today that had a water main break in their basement. I said, oh, no.
You don't want that.
No.
No.
That's the stuff that we have, even stuff that we have on risers in case something like that happens, it would still be a nightmare.
Speaking of cold weather problems, did you see Roger Badish's post on Facebook? Roger Badish, former WGN newsman?
No.
He, for the second year in a row, he's dealing with the dreaded garage door won't go up.
Oh, geez.
And garage door remote control and stuff like that.
Oh, so he thought he could put it on himself. It's not easy because they tell you, you know, push this twice, then turn around, rub your tummy, go back, push that one three times, and it's supposed to magically communicate, and it never does. And I think he probably tried that and realized, no, that's why you call the professionals. We went through that, too. We called our buddy Gary and said, come, you know this stuff. And he looked at it, and so we did all of the things they said for you to do, and it never worked.
Nope.
So we called out a guy who said, oh, I'll be out of here in 10 minutes. And it was just that
fast. But apparently he changed the whole something in the whole.
So we would never be able to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
We had a quick story. We had a repairman out the other night because my oven went south. But thank goodness it did not happen during Christmas when I was doing hams and potatoes and all that good stuff. So I was trying to make baked spaghetti the other night, and I realized it wasn't preheating. So I said, okay, it's finally bit the dust. So called, made an appointment for a service person, and lo and behold, he was able to come out the very next day.
Terrific service guy.
And Thursday night, I got a text that said, please send a picture of your model number and send a picture of your appliance.
Yeah.
I did all of that. He walked in on Friday afternoon, and he says, well, I got to find out what you've got here. And I said, you didn't get the pictures? And he goes, what pictures? Why did I take pictures? Mm-hmm. Why did I send the model number? Because guess what? He didn't have an igniter on his truck for that. And that was the point of sending the model number, is so your technician would have all the important stuff with him. Not his fault. And then he said, I could go and buy it, but we have a $100 limit on our company credit card. I don't think there are many things for appliances that are under $100. I said, well, could I give you cash and you go buy it? Nope. Got to go through the system. So we had to order the part because you have to pay for it.
The part which will be delivered to our house.
And I'm supposed to open it up to be sure that it's not damaged.
Yeah, we're supposed to examine the part and make sure. We know nothing about, why are we paying you guys? If we're supposed to be saying,
okay, we have examined this 2025 widget, and we can see that it is.
As I said to him, I said, well, that's a lot of pressure. He says, you'll know if it's damaged or not. Okay, and he'll be out in 2 weeks. Great. I won't be baking for 2 weeks.
So then you get the call from the company. Should we identify the company?
No. No, because the people that I was working with, they were doing their job, and he was as frustrated as we were.
But I think it is an example of what is happening, sadly, at too many companies where they send someone out to your house to do whatever it is, and it's... the company has had all kinds of cutbacks.
And so they've got their hands tied. Yeah. He's been doing this for over 30 years. He knew exactly what to do. He would have been in and out.
He was fine.
And he said, no. And he says, and
oh, and the other thing. While he tried, I think, at least six different times to call someone from his company, nobody answered the phone.
He was so angry by that time. He said, I just want somebody to tell me if they've got the part. I'll go get it off their truck. I mean, he really went above and beyond.
Yeah.
So anyway, lesson learned. I'm not sure what that was.
Yeah, I don't know what we do with that lesson, but there you are. So I'm going to stop talking and we'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Stay with us.
I really can't stay.
Okay, you're free to go.
I've got to go away.
Understood, no means no.
This evening has been
super appropriate.
So very nice.
But I do understand consent.
My mom will start to worry.
Definitely text her right
and
now.
And father will be pacing the floor.
Here's the code and there is the door.
So really, I'd better scurry.
I am gonna stand over here.
Maybe just a half a drink
you
more.
You are in control of this
the
thing.
The neighbors might think.
Invite them over if you like.
Say, what's in this drink?
Nothing but Sprite.
I wish I knew how.
Just walk right out the door.
To break the spell.
I do know how to spell harassment.
No,
I hear you loud and clear.
At least I'm gonna say that I try.
I'm trying super
I really
hard.
Can't stay.
Please just go out, baby. Just go outside.
I simply must go.
Uber is right outside.
The answer is no.
Seriously, right outside.
The welcome has been.
I'll walk you to
so
the curb.
Nice and warm.
But totally consensual.
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Hopefully not about
us. At least there will be plenty implied.
Please do not imply anything.
I really can't stay.
Baby, just go out. Baby, just
cold.
Go.
Baby,
just go outside.
Steve King and Johnny Putman. That is the Holderness family and Baby, Just Go.
Go outside. Just go. The Uber's waiting for you. I'll walk you to the car.
Check out the Holderness family on YouTube. They have some wonderful videos of their own take on any of a number of songs.
Husband and wife, I've been following them for years. They got me through the pandemic because they came up with outrageous skits. I don't even know if there's a video for this. There should be. Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah, there is.
He's wearing a Christmas suit.
As you don't see her, but he's...
Yeah. The lyrics are very funny. Well, listener Dan says, I'm hiding underneath my electric blanket from head to toe. Be sure to open your cabinet door under your sink. Good point, Dan. Absolutely.
Yep.
Start your car and let it run for a few minutes before driving.
Always.
Well.
Well, now, wait. You know that one of the things that I've done forever is start the car, and I usually wind up letting it run about 30 seconds. Just it doesn't matter how much time. You will hear the engine cycle down. Mm-hmm. And basically that means, okay, now the oil is kind of making its way through the places it needs to go. So it's your engine will last longer if you do it that way.
We used to think, though, that we had to warm up our cars before we could drive them, period, during a cold snap, right? I mean, I would sit in my car forever until it actually warmed up. But you don't have to do that now.
I think anything over maybe a minute is you're wasting.
Mm-hmm. Dan also says, cooking oil, wipe down the weather stripping. That black rubber will keep it from sticking. Thumbs up or down, Bob? Keeper of the big plug, yes or no?
Sure.
Boy, there's a qualified.
I personally wouldn't use cooking oil, but yeah, I get it.
Butter it up.
A silicone-based spray.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he also says, don't forget to spray the latch for the gas door and entire door hinges, too. The gas door?
Yes.
Oh, yes, because that can freeze.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do is be sitting at the gas station looking at the big E, knowing that you've got no option and you can't get that little door open.
But also be very careful if you're in a situation where your car has to be parked outside.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide, I'm going to protect my car, I'm going to get a cover.
Oh, yes.
One of our cars was parked outside for a while. And we wound up getting a cover.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover, it snowed, it rained, the cover froze to the vehicle.
Oh.
And we had the worst time trying to get it off.
I still remember that sound of it pulling off the hood of the car. And you just knew that this was not healthy.
Well, am I wrong or do we have to have parts of the car repainted?
We
too,
did.
Once we got
because,
that off.
Yeah, and it was like a material underneath the plastic coating on the...
Yeah.
And it was a perfectly fitted car cover. But who knew that fuzzy fleecy underside was going to get wet and freeze to the car.
Also, 2 points. If your car is parked outside, once you start the car, yeah, leave it run for at least 30 seconds, a minute. Pound on the hood.
Yes.
So whatever critter seeking shelter gets out from under your hood. And that reminds me, I have to respond to a listener who contacted us that wanted to know the name of the sonar sensor that we use on our car we leave parked out in Florida.
Okay.
It's a Bell and Howell.
Available on Amazon. It's just called a sonar pest detractor.
And they really, really, we speak from experience.
Yeah.
They really, really work.
Because knock on wood,
We had 2 times when we had to pay about $1,500 each to have the wiring under our car that is parked in a carport in Florida replaced because critters got under there. We decided this is not a good thing.
No.
We got these sonar sensors, plugged them in, and this has been about 2.5 years now. Never had a problem since there. So they work.
And people will say, no, they don't. We're just saying from our experience, they've worked great. And I understand that a lot of people who are snowbirds out in Arizona, they actually do that there too. Even though they don't get that cold weather, you still have critters that crawl up in there because it's warm. And we have skunks in downtown Chicago. We got off Lakeshore Drive tonight. It was an overwhelming smell.
We got off at Grand and we're waiting for the light to change. Oh, boy, was there a skunk smell.
And I thought
that was permeating our car that had just been washed.
Yes.
And we thought, oh, we don't want this to.
It crossed my mind, was that skunk under our car and we brought it downtown?
I don't think
so. And by the time we pulled off the drive, and there was actually roadkill on Lakeshore Drive. That was weird, too. I said, that was probably a possum or something trying to get to the other side.
Or he was just playing possum.
No, it was a chicken trying to get to the other side.
That's right.
Oh, golly. You don't get this up and down the... Spike O'Dell used to say that. You don't get this kind of radio up and down the dial.
That's true.
Probably for good reason, too.
A little later tonight, we mentioned Charlie Myerson will be joining us. Also, our computer guru, Patrick Crispin, who will have tales and possibly audio of taking our grandson, Joseph, on a driverless car ride.
Yes.
In a Waymo vehicle.
All over L.A.
Saturday afternoon.
Yes, yes, yes. Listeners are saying, drip your faucets.
Yeah.
I hate to do that because I just feel like it's money. We're just letting money go down the drain.
Rather have a little bit of money go that way than have a whole lot of money because you have to have a plumber come out.
I know. I live with you. I know that.
Yeah.
I go behind you and I turn them off and you turn around, you turn them back on again. I'm like, it's killing me to turn those faucets on. I know. It's a little picadillo of mine.
Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to do our, I'm seeing so far we're up to 11 states that are tuned in. Some of these states are dealing with some brutal weather, too. Unusually cold weather for parts of the country. So we will get to those folks when we do our round robin. And Bob.
Some shouts.
Bob, you gave me that terrific U.S. map,
yes.
Right? We talked to Chief Engineer. Well, he said he was going to fix it so we could roll that map in here, and he suggested that we have 2 different color push pins for the map. If they're listening on their AM radio, they get one color, and if they're listening on the internet, they get a different color, and then we'll get a sense of how people are tuned in from Florida and Nebraska.
And Bob has been sending me various QSL requests he's getting from around the world.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Sweden?
Come on.
Chile?
Yeah.
And New Zealand.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, very nice. I also like
it. See, if you left the faucets turned on, I'd share this stuff with you.
Stop it. I just like the fact that people are still doing that. That's very cool. And for people who don't know what that is, when you pick up the radio station, literally.
The old fashioned way.
The old fashioned way through the wave.
Through the sky waves.
Yeah. Not using the internet is what
correct.
I should say.
Yes.
Then you want a verification that, in fact, you heard what you thought you heard over the radio. And that's why they send in. Do you remember what the
QSL?
What it stands for?
It's just quality of sound.
Yeah, sure.
Basically, it's just acknowledgement that that your signal was received.
So you have no idea what QSL stands for?
Ron looked it up, and I don't remember what.
I know. I was here, too, and I'm like, I don't remember.
I'm going to say quality sound long distance.
Oh, that's good.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And no one can refute me at this point, so I'm right. going with that.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's a new one from Julian's file of shout-out bumps. Who dat?
Dat Devo.
Yeah, I knew it.
Okay.
I should have said it. I'm sitting here going, that's Devo, even though I'd never heard the song before. But
it does actually have a Devo sound.
Yeah. That's about, I think, the fourth time I've used it.
Really?
Yeah.
Was I here?
Well, it's a new year.
That's right. Yeah,
everything from last year is erased.
New year, new bump.
I come in here with a clean slate, you know? My mind is fertile. I'm ready to... I'm not sure. Anyway, a lot of folks are checking in to say congratulations and happy anniversary as we start year number three.
Yeah, this is the 7th of January would be the official anniversary of Steve and Johnny Show version 2.0. But we're since this is as close as we're going to get, we're saying this is the two-year anniversary, beginning year number three.
Bob and Sherry in Arlington Heights says, congrats as you start year number three, Steve and Johnny 2.0. Obviously, they were listening more than I was because I was like, oh, that's cute, 2.0, not realizing that that's what you've been calling it for 2 years. All right.
Well, that's what it says on the WGN Radio website. That
Oh, okay.
And we wrote that 2 years ago.
Moving right along. Happy New Year, Steve and Johnny from Sherry Hanrahan in Romeoville. Dave, Senn High School graduate 64 from Mount Prospect is tuned in. Don in Portage, Michigan, listening on the web. He is looking forward to a segment with Charlie Meyerson and said maybe sometime we could get our buddy Gil Gross on the show.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Because I haven't talked to Gil. We still communicate on Facebook. Used to work with Gil at the Once Big 89 back in the 70s.
Yep.
Terrific guy. Oh, by the way, speaking of things coming up later, we're going to have a very special last caller tonight.
We are. Okay.
So fair warning, something a little different with the first last caller of 2025.
Robin's in Dyer, Indiana, listening on the radio. Jim G's in Wisconsin. Scott's in snowy, cold Pierre, South Dakota, and he's listening online. Ken from Ann Arbor is tuned in. Let's see, Bonnie Butternut, Wisconsin. I just like Bonnie Butternut. That's her name as far as I'm concerned. A couple of people said, I love this. Just get a screwdriver and go to YouTube. You'll get a video on how to fix your stove.
Yeah, right.
That sounds really safe. Also, Bell and Howell pest control devices are available at Ace and Menards. That's good to know. Sandy Marks is in Hoffman Estates, tuned in. Someone had the nerve to mana-mana me.
I saw that.
Baby,
mana-mana.
It's going to be cold going home if you don't stop mana-mana-ing me. All right. Julian. That's one next to your name. One.
Oh, by the way.
No.
Julian.
No.
Speaking of Johnny's favorite things.
No.
Do you know whose birthday it is today? Happy birthday, Diane Cannon.
Yeah. That is not me. Did you hear Steve say that's Diane Cannon, 88-year-old Diane Cannon with the best hair in Hollywood? Dan Lewandowski checking in from Wichita Falls, a native Chicagoan. All right, here I go. By the way, pictures were posted on our trip into the radio station. I'm glad to see some lights are still up. If you're leaving your tree up, we're right there with you. We are celebrating Candlemas this year.
And Candlemas is February 2nd, and we'll talk a little more about that later.
Yep. And we saw that our neighbor was actually decorating his tree.
Yeah.
And I suspect that he's celebrating a Greek Christmas.
So a little later, probably in the 11 o'clock hour, because we're going to talk with Charlie Morrison in the 10 o'clock hour. Maybe in the 11 o'clock hour, if there are other Christmas celebrations that you observe, whether it's the Orthodox, whatever.
Or do you actually celebrate Candlemas?
Yeah.
I want to get this ball rolling so that we can leave our lights up until February 2nd without people going...
they're up till February 2nd.
Yeah, people going, really? Oh. Patty and Paul are listening in the great southern Kettle Moraine, Wisconsin. Debbie Hardiman is listening in Waukesha. Ellen Marie is in McHenry County. Nancy Hollins is tuned in from Northbrook. Our lister, Brian Lefevre, representing Chicago and the Bridgeport neighborhood. Susie Schemmel is in Glen Ellen. Gene Jacobson in Milwaukee. Carrie Johnson is in Palm Coast, Florida. Richard Vanna is in New Buffalo, Michigan. Tracy Douglas is tuned in and listening on her iPhone app. Linda Johnson, hey Linda. Happy New Year to you, too. Elizabeth Blackmore Holland is listening from Naperville tonight. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Jim Smith is, let's keep that fun train rolling. I'm on it every Saturday night. So that's what this is, Steve. It's our fun train.
Okay.
Joan Bloom is in Greenville, South Carolina. William Bauer is happy with 2.0, Steve and Johnny. Barbara Barrett is in Lake Zurich. Laura Miller, Cotton and his mom, Laura, listening on the Echo Dot from Willowbrook tonight. Ron Hitzler is tuned in. In 2 days, we'll be saying, thank God it's Monday. Rita Reagan. Yeah, you said it in our promotion for tonight's show on Facebook. We've had like 4 Fridays this week, and we're kind of stumbling around wondering, you know, what day is it? Rita Reagan's in Fort Worth, Texas, tuned in. And Ed Wales is listening from the Michigan Highlands, Moose Country in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Janet Gellert's in Gainesville, Florida, where it's in the upper 30s in Gainesville.
That's cold in Florida.
Deb Scott and her mama, Alice Selke, the beautiful Alice Selke, tuned in tonight.
Mark, we got to talk to Alice again.
We do. We missed
her. We were supposed to talk to her a couple of weeks ago, and I forget what happened.
We got busy, and I'm sorry, because she had a great video. Alice celebrated her 106th birthday, and so she had a great video reminiscing about Christmases from her childhood, and it was really fascinating. Margo Moore is in Albuquerque. Richard Wade, one of the Chase twins, is in Troy, Missouri. Beverly Goodall is in Highwood, Illinois. Robin Aiken in Port Charlotte, Florida. Donna Youngheim in Oak Lawn. Marie Prudence in Evergreen Park. Roger Camp, Somerville, South Carolina. Larry Mann is in Miami. Kathy Abnor is in Peoria. John Couture is listening on the radio app. Michelle Fairfield is in Peoria. Mark Goldstein is in Owings Mills, Maryland.
Home of Motor Week television and our friend John Davis,
who we'll be talking to in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
getting ready for the auto show. Terry Knight's in Batavia. Ron Anderson's in Louisville. Jan Reinhart's in the laboratory. Bobby Danos, our buddy, is out in Sammich, Illinois. Peter Jakubowicz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Diane Bano DeAndre is tuned in. I just like that name. It's like a movie star name. Norm Brozanski is out in Aurora. Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Our graphics guru, Diane Vasquez, made us a cute graphic for tonight, all about winter. Sharon Malone is listening on her boombox. Priscilla Gilbert Stegg is in Joliet. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Dawn Zell and Fred Hussar is in Lyons. And Lester Clyden, our trucking buddy. Bonnie Pearson is in Grays Lake. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Eric Baum sent us a picture from Wells Beach, Maine. Judy B. and Chuck Snitchler, our friend from Hobart, is tuned in. Lori Poe is in Windsor, Colorado. And Nancy Tomachevsky is in West Allis, Wisconsin. And that just about rolls through everybody who, no, we got a few more that checked in. Sorry if I missed you. I'll get you next week. But you have to tune in for me to get you next week.
And I think I'm going to check with Bill Murdoch, our chief engineer, and we may start integrating some of the worldwide things that the QSL requests that he gets.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been sending us some copies of requests from all over the world. Yep. Well, we got a lot coming up. We're going to talk with our buddy Charlie Myerson. So stay with us at WGN Radio.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it. Tell me just what do you read?
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, tell me just what do you read? Well, we read Chicago Public Square, and we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more with a man that you know from the days when he was working at this here radio station. But Johnny started her career with him, so I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yes, he is Charlie Myerson. How are you tonight, Charlie?
I'm fine, and I'm delighted to be with you. And I'm gonna steal a little bit of your thunder, Johnny, because I want to recap all the ways that we have intersected over the years. Are you ready?
Yeah, I think yes.
I listened to Steve on WLS during my formative years. I'm still in my formative years.
don't blame me for that.
My earlier formative years, I know.
Yes.
I started my first job out of college alongside Johnny at WMRO-AM and WAUR-FM in Aurora in 1977. I attended your wedding, a wonderful event in 1984.
Right. Yeah.
Where Steve did a killer version of Johnny Be Good. Am I correct?
Yes. That's,
I did. I did.
Which I'm just now thinking about. Johnny Be Good. What a great selection for a song that was when you're marrying someone named Johnny. And I found myself working the swing shift at the Chicago Tribune in 2008, and I was honored to join you guys nightly, it seems, for a regular segment from the update desk of the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah.
And then when I joined WGN News as news director, we won awards together as you led coverage of a big fire overnight.
Yeah, it was right down on Michigan Avenue.
Right.
And our producer was Margaret Larson at that point.
Wow. I'm still reeling at all these times that our paths have crossed, because you didn't even mention that I attended your wedding, which was one of the great stories of all time, because when we were working together out in Aurora and you came in and talked about being in a car accident and the fact that you had collided with this lovely young woman who you ultimately married. So there on the top of your wedding cake was the cars colliding.
two little matchbox cars that proved, you know, I tried with a hammer to bang them up so they kind of resembled what happened in the accident. But let me tell you this, I speak from experience. Matchbox cars are almost indestructible.
Unless you step on them, you know, and then you break your foot.
No, even then, I tried to hammer them. So,
oh my
gosh.
They
had, a couple of paint flecks came off, but it was close enough. That's right. So, you were there at the very beginning of my wonderful marriage to my wonderful wife, Pam.
And who was at fault in that car accident? I don't recall.
It's not important. there were no tickets issued.
That's right. You just got her number. That was the important thing, right?
If she were here, she'd interject. His insurance company paid.
Aha. Well, we should tell folks that they certainly recognize your name. You've been at a few radio stations here in Chicago. And, you know, we're so fortunate because born and raised in this area, you've always worked here. You never left, right, Charlie?
I have to correct you. I was not born here. I was actually born in Detroit, but at 13 moved to Orland Park, unincorporated Palos Township. But almost.
But your entire journalism career has been at radio stations in Chicago as well as the Chicago Tribune, and that's pretty impressive for 40 plus years, Charlie.
I don't know that I've ever asked you this, Charlie, but what gave you your passion, because you have a passion for good journalism? What ignited that in you?
Well, first of all, thank you for asking. I have to credit my parents, who both were at various points in their career newspaper people. My dad was a newspaper editor in the Detroit area. The reason that we moved to Illinois when I was 13 in 1968 was that my dad, who had been teaching journalism at a suburban community college outside Detroit, got the same job at Moraine Valley Community College in Palos Hills. So he was a journalism teacher and taught me much of what I know and what I've taught and what I've tried to apply about concise writing, mm-hmm. and good journalism. My mom was a pretty journalist, and you know, would write both in Michigan and here in the suburbs of Chicago, community news roundups for among others, the Palos Regional newspaper back in the day. But also, you guys know I'm a comics fan, and
yes.
You know, Steve.
That's one of the many things we bonded on.
Absolutely, you know, who are some of the most prominent journalists in comics? Clark Kent and Peter Parker.
Yeah, there you go.
And you know, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, as a teenager, was working for this big newspaper in New York, and it gave me the idea in high school that. You know, maybe I could do some journalism in high school, in addition to working for the student newspaper. So, when a reporter for then the Star Tribune newspaper, Barb Hipsman, who went on to teach journalism in Ohio, was interviewing high school students what we thought about the war in Vietnam, I said, "Hey, do you need a stringer? Do you need any volunteer journalists?" And lo and behold, they started sending me to cover some school board meetings and park district meetings. And so in high school, I was like Peter Parker, kind of, you know, pretending that I was a journalist.
Were you a nerdy high schooler?
Johnny, I think you've known me long enough to know the answer to that. That's a loaded question. And yes, I think my wife and my kids and my sister and anyone else who's known me all these years would tell you, he's still pretty nerdy. Nerd is strong in this one.
I still have to say, though, it's very impressive that you never had to leave town to get the job of your dreams, because you've had some awesome positions. I mean, how many years were you with WXRT?
10 years.
10 years. Wow.
1979 to 1989. Well, yeah, and you know, when I talk to young people who are considering journalism as a career, and sadly there aren't as many of them as there used to be. I tell them that you know, assuming they have the luxury of a little bit of time, that they should look for a job first in the place where they want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And to follow their hearts. And, you know, for me, that was really staying close to family and friends. And so you probably both got the same advice when you were coming up. Well, you know, you want to make it in Chicago, you're going to have to go to Podunk, Iowa.
Yep.
Yeah.
And pay your dues. And, you know, I could have done that, but I also had friends, contemporaries at the time, who did that and never found their way back to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I decided early on I was going to look for something here, was lucky enough, really, to find that great job in Aurora, which was, you know, for Johnny, for you and me both, as well as many others, including our good friend Dean Richards.
Mm-hmm.
We all started there in Aurora, and it was, you know, far enough away from Chicago that, for instance, in my case, I could phone in news stories from Aurora for WIND radio in Chicago, back when WIND was a good radio station, as you'll recall.
Yes.
And you know, get my voice on Chicago radio, which, you know, helped build up the resume. And so, you know, when I knocked on the door at XRT, I could say, oh, you know, I've done some work for WIND in Chicago. In high school, since we're going way back, I did do one phone-in report for... I believe it was then WDAI-FM, you know, the Earth Day report or something like that.
Yeah.
Here at Carl Sandburg High School, kids are sending balloons into the air to mark Earth Day, whatever. So I think that was my Chicago radio debut when I was back in high school.
You mentioned that, sadly, there are not that many that you come across that are going into the field of journalism. It breaks my heart that Columbia College has dropped their radio department. I'm like, what? Why? Couldn't you just hang on?
Well, you know, one of the things is, I think, not being involved, I have to step back and say, I taught radio news at Columbia College for 4 years in the 80s. And it made me a better journalist to be telling kids, don't do this, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
So I owe a tremendous debt to Columbia College, and have had a good relationship with the college through the years, even when I'm not, you know, getting paid for it. But I think it was a little antiquated that to have, at this point, separate tracks for radio journalism and television journalism and print journalism. Because, you know, as the web taught us at the Tribune and elsewhere, it's all one.
Yeah.
You know, radio stations have websites. Radio stations need people who can spell. TV stations need people who can write. Radio stations need people who can write and create video. So to have individual tracks, I think, was at this point short-sighted.
Understood.
The blatant plug light has started flashing. So
oh, good.
we want to talk about, for people who have not checked out Chicago Public Square. Charlie, it's all yours. Chicago Public Square, who, what, when, where, how do you access it? What do you do?
All right. A shortcut, if people want to jump on that right now, and I'll be able to actually watch my email inbox to see if anyone actually responds to this. If you go to right now, sub, as in subscriptions, sub.chicagotribune, no, not Chicago Tribune, that's old habits dying hard, sub.chicagopublicsquare.com, you can sign up, type your email address in, and every weekday at 10 o'clock, almost every weekday, I take some days off for the holidays, for instance, you'll get my take on news that is relevant to and important for the Chicago area.
And
I don't know. It began back in 2017 with the rise of the first Donald Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
I had some time on my hands and a compulsion to get into the day-to-day news business again, and to my surprise, it's grown over the last almost 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to value it. So I'll say that one more time, and then you guys can take it back. sub.chicagopublicsquare.com, and it's free. It's always free, and happy to have everyone jump in and join the fun.
And I don't know if you heard our conversation with Ron Brown earlier, and Ron is manning the news desk tonight right now. And Ron was saying, and Ron, feel free to jump in, that Chicago Public Square is one of your go-to sources too, right?
Oh, I've been reading it every day for several years, 7 of the 8 years, maybe all 8 years, Charlie.
Ron, I don't know if everyone knows this. Ron and I, you know, have been, I've been honored to be on the same team with Ron at Rivet, which is this startup that we began in 2013 to sort of reinvent radio news for the smartphone era. A great idea, wonderful talent, including, of course, Ron, which is how I came to know Ron. We're more in the podcast production business now, but Ron is a wonderfully talented news guy. And Ron, it's great to be on the air with you again.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But let's talk about the newsletter.
Now,
it's just so good. I mean, there's nothing out there that equals it, that rivals it, that really, and seriously, everybody should
have
this.
Yeah. And we should explain, too, because I did the shout outs for the people who are listening to us around the country. When we talk about this being a compilation of news that you can use to start your day, it's not just what's happening in Chicago, right, Charlie? This is your approach to, this is valuable stuff that you might miss, so I'm going to put it all together for you so you've got it there at your fingertips.
Well, you know, Johnny, I've really only had one idea through my whole career, which is newscasting. And what do radio newscasters do? What does Ron do every mm-hmm. hour? What do all the WGN news anchors do? You know, we traditionally have, you know, looked at the morning newspapers, I mean, but in the days before the internet, to see what's in there. We look at the wire services. As the internet has come along, we look at email alerts that we get from various news sources. We look at our Twitter, or maybe now, certainly for me, Blue Sky accounts to see mm-hmm. what
yep.
smart people that we follow are sharing. And then we boil it down to, you know, a 3, 4, 5 minute newscast, maybe a 10 minute newscast. Here's what you should know. And it's generally with attribution. The Tribune is reporting this. The Sun-Times reporting this. The Associated Press is saying this. The New York Times says this. The Washington Post says this. And, you know, I've built Chicago public square as Chicago's new front page. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's looked at the front page of a traditional newspaper or the front page of a news website like the Chicago Tribune, which, you know, for many years I would get in first thing in the morning and decide what stories were going to be on the front page of ChicagoTribune.com, knows that, yes, there are a lot of stories about things that happen in Chicago, but there are also, especially over the last 8 years, a lot of stories that happen elsewhere that affect what happens in Chicago. Mm-hmm. One of the a few things have happened in the last few months. Trends have emerged in the feedback I get from readers of Chicago Public Square. One is, hey, why are you writing so much about Washington? And, you know, the presidential election, or more recently, the incoming Donald Trump administration. And why aren't you writing more about Chicago? And my answer has been, yes, there's lots that's happening in Chicago, but frankly, what's happening in Washington is, in my opinion, going to have a lot more impact on Chicago and how Chicagoans and how people in Illinois live their lives than many of the stories that are geographically located here. Mm-hmm. So the idea behind a front page is, yeah, there's local news on the front page of a newspaper. There's also national news and world news. What affects Chicago and Chicago readers is, you know, as I preached when I was news director at WGN, not just stuff that happens in Chicago, but stuff that happens anywhere, but that resonates with people who are listening or reading or watching here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. So Chicago Public Square, your approach is as an independent source for news, correct?
Yeah. You know, one of the nice things about what I've discovered in running Chicago Public Square is that it is, well, there are pros and cons. First of all, I miss editors. You know, having an editor, a second voice or a second pair of eyes look at your work and say, hey, you got a typo here. Hey, you misspelled this. Hey, you got these facts wrong. That's not something to be dismissed lightly. Fortunately, I'm blessed with many engaged readers who are not shy about saying, hey, you got this wrong. And then I send out a correction.
Yeah.
But as we watch what happens with national corporate-owned media, where the people in charge are concerned, seemingly, about their businesses under an incoming Trump administration, we see instances where independent-minded journalists and independent journalism is not being given quite the free rein that we'd like it to get.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story today in the news that we can talk about if you want.
Mm-hmm. And there's a whole lot of things we got to get to. So we'll come back and talk more with Charlie Morrison. And again, it's sub.chicagopublicsquare.com. Or just go to chicagopublicsquare.com and you can scroll around and you'll find everything
and
you need.
Subscribe and follow that way.
Someone's dropped a bomb somewhere, contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky. It's Good News Week. Someone's found a way to give the rotting dead a will to live, go on and never die. Have you heard the news? What did it say? Who's won that race? What's the weather like today? It's Good News Week.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, it may or may not be Good News Week, but we're talking about a terrific news site, ChicagoPublicSquare.com. That's ChicagoPublicSquare.com. We're talking with Charlie Morrison. And, Charlie, I want to address one thing that has impressed me from day one with Chicago Public Square. Separate from the fact that we've known you as a colleague for years, and we respect your work. One of the many things I appreciate about the way you approach Chicago Public Square, unlike news sites, and I'll name it, like Fox News, and their slogan for years has been fair and balanced. They have never been fair and balanced from day one. If there is a story on Chicago Public Square, and if you have a particular take on that story, leaning one way or another, you say it. You don't hesitate to say, this is where I'm coming from about this particular story. And I really appreciate that.
Well, you know, one of the style choices that I've made at Chicago Public Square is when I write Fox News, when I type that, I go back and strike out the word news. There's a little crosshatch through the word news when I refer to it. You know, I'm going to go back to my college days when, you know, influenced by professors, I kind of rejected the notion of objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, has kind of become a corporate mandate over the years. I mean, and really is just something that manifested itself during what some have called the age of mass media, roughly 1955, the rise of television, to 1995, the rise of the internet. During those years, the mission of the news business, unlike before and after, was to amass the largest possible audience,
mm-hmm.
and to do that. You try not to piss anybody off. But who were some of the most influential journalists in that age of mass media? I mean, here in Chicago, Mike Royko was, again, a big influence for me. And Mike Royko didn't make any secrets about where he was coming from,
mm-hmm.
who was a liar, who was a truth teller, whom you could trust, whom you couldn't. So, you know, it's become sort of my mindset when I've been able to apply it over the years to not hide opinions that are based in fact, and that when someone has a reputation of being a liar or someone has a reputation of being inaccurate, that person is identified as such when that person is in the news.
And don't you agree that, sadly, too many people in positions of control of the news media don't understand that the average person, certainly there are people with all kinds of biases, but the average person can take a news report from someone who has a bias if they're open about that bias. Just don't say, I'm giving you everything fair and balanced. No, you're not. You're hiding your particular bent inside the story.
Yeah, I mean, the tradition, you know, just coming back to, for instance, Chicago City Hall, something that I covered, as others have, for many years. Over the course of covering the city council, for instance, you get to know, over time, which aldermen are full of crap and which aren't. And to report what one of those city council members says without putting it in context, without mentioning this city council member who has a reputation for being inaccurate or who previously told us this and after then we learned this, instead of just quoting the alderman without that context is to provide a disservice, to do a disservice to the audience and not provide context for, you know, here's the quote. So, you know, with Chicago Public Square, for instance, I look to elevate informed opinion from columnists who, you know, may have opinions, but whose opinions are backed up by facts and hyperlinks and details. And, you know, people can certainly read those opinion columnists, and I generally identify them by something like columnist, so that someone knows going in, okay, this is not going to be your traditional straight, you know, he said, she said, they said kind of story, that they have some context for understanding what they're about to read.
I think Neil Steinberg is a good example. You guys have a great working relationship.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, and he's obviously a fan of yours, too.
Yeah.
And that works out well because he brings our attention to something that you have reported on, and you do the same for his columns.
Yeah, and Eric Zorn also. Similar relationship. Again, two great columnists, and, you know, it's sad that the Chicago Tribune has parted ways with many, all really, of its news opinion columnists. And it's great that Neil is still with the Sun-Times.
And sadly,
but yeah, I think that, you know, I look to columnists to provide context and provide explanatory journalism that kind of the TikTok news reporting doesn't provide.
Yes,
and don't you think that what's happening with the Tribune? Because I think objectively there are a skeleton crew of people at the Tribune who are really trying hard, in spite of the hedge fund owners that have decimated that paper.
Who used to, you know, and we should remind everyone that once upon a time, the Tribune and WGN, mm-hmm. world's greatest newspaper, were co-owned and yep. are not anymore.
Yep.
You know, there are tremendously talented journalists still at the Tribune. I still get the Tribune and the Sun-Times
crossed
onto our porch every morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, it is a much smaller staff than it used to be, and those who are there are doing the job with far fewer resources than was the case, you know, when I left the paper to join WGN in 2009.
I did some end-of-year bookkeeping, and I was stunned at what we pay for a seven-day-a-week subscription. We're into the thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Okay, well, let me back up. If you're paying more than I believe it's $155 a year for 7-day delivery, then you should call
what
customer service.
What?
I'm not kidding you. And Eric Zorn has written about this at great length too. I don't want to pick on any one newspaper. Much of the business at this point, as I perceive it, because I'm not in it anymore, is relying on momentum from newspaper subscribers of a certain age and older just yeah. to keep paying whatever yeah. because they've yeah. always paid it. But it is worth everyone's while at least once a year to call and say, I'm going to cancel unless you give me the best rate that you're offering your brand new consumers. And you can Google, say, new
yeah.
subscriber to this newspaper. So
well, you know, I will start the year Tribune, out that way because
yes.
I'm not kidding you.
The Tribune's offering new subscribers, I think it's $155 for a full year. And if they say, no, we can't do it, then what you do is you cancel and then you sign up with, you know, your spouse's name yeah. and a yeah. different email address yeah. and get the new rate. But generally, they'll, you know, the customer service people are happy to keep you on board. I'm paying $4 a month for access to the New York Times, and I think $4 a month for access to the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you want to talk about the Washington Post?
No.
Who was the cartoonist that just yes. resigned yes. from the Washington Post?
Pulitzer-winning cartoonist Ann Telness quit the Washington Post after an editor rejected her cartoon showing tech magnates, including Amazon founder and Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos,
mm-hmm.
genuflect, and Mickey Mouse, by the way,
Mickey yeah. Mouse, yeah.
genuflecting before a statue of Donald Trump.
Yep.
My friend, another Pulitzer-winning cartoonist and columnist, Jack Oman, whom I'm proud to consider a contributor to Chicago Public Square, he's given us clearance to republish his cartoons, which I do frequently in Chicago Public Square, to which you can subscribe free at sub.chicagopublicsquare.com, as several listeners have already. Jack wrote something that I want to quote because he has a blog of his own. And he wrote this today about Ann Telness's resignation. He's worked with her through the years.
Mm-hmm.
He says, here's the quote, "I grieve because it's not just Ann, it's everyone in journalism. If you're in opinion, you should be getting your affairs in order and making other arrangements. Unless you're a coward, then you'll be fine."
Mm. Wow.
And it, you know, the bottom line there is, with these large corporate news media, for which I hope things go well and things get much better,
mm-hmm.
you know, we do see their owners bending the knee mm-hmm. to the new administration, the incoming yeah. administration. And so I put a great deal of hope in independent truth tellers, Substack email newsletter
yep.
journalists mm-hmm. who have in increasing numbers been leaving these large news organizations to strike out on their own and form startup news organizations, or in some cases just work solo, and there is a lot of great work being done there. It's not the same as the work that was being done by big corporate media, but I put a lot of hope in what they're doing, Jack. Yeah. And now Ann Telnis has got her own email newsletter, and we'll be distributing her cartoons that way, probably.
Yes, I just signed up for her Substack today.
Good, yeah. By the way, I was not actually familiar with her work, but I really like this cartoon that the Washington Post didn't publish, which now will ironically no doubt be seen by a lot more people than it would have been seen by if they'd published it in the Post.
Just before we take a break, did you just win another award from the Chicago Reader?
No, not yet. Chicago Public Square is, again, as it's been several years in a row, a finalist for Best Email Newsletter and Best Independent Website or Blog. Some years we win, some years we don't, but the voting just wrapped up on December 31st, and we'll learn the winners in March. But it's an honor just to be a finalist.
And in this case, he's telling the truth. We're going to take a break, and we will come right back for some closing thoughts with our friend Charlie Meyerson on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Million Ways to Say Another Crazy Day Today headlines. We're talking with our friend Charlie Meyerson. You should check out ChicagoPublicSquare.com. That's ChicagoPublicSquare.com. Check it out. Subscribe. It's free. And your life will be better for doing that.
And Charlie, let's clarify. You can subscribe for free, but your site is actually reader-supported, correct?
That's true. You know, I did it free for a year. I think I mentioned that, you know, I started it in 2017 mm-hmm. when, you know, the first Trump administration was dawning. And after a year, as new forms of financial support evolved, back in the day I used Memberful. About a year in, I said, hey, is this worth anything to you? Subtext, mm-hmm. what will you pay me not to quit? And to my surprise, people actually paid me not to quit. And that model has since been adopted by an Substack, most famously, but it mm-hmm. didn't exist back in 2018. Mm-hmm. And people are finding, in general, journalists are finding across the country and across virtually all beats, that people are willing to pay to get email newsletters that that they find valuable. Which brings me back to something I said earlier. I said there have been a couple of threads of communication that have developed with readers over the last few months. Mm-hmm. One is, you know, why are you doing so much Washington news, D.C. news, national news? The other is, please don't quit. I had a friend, a woman I hadn't seen for 20 years, stop me in the grocery store parking lot or in one of the aisles at Jewel, actually, and said, love your newsletter. Please don't stop. Oh. You know, just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yep.
And I got to confide, had the presidential election gone another way, I was prepared to glide off into the sunset. But a number of people have unsolicitedly said, please don't stop. And so mm-hmm. now I'm kind of stuck. and it's a responsibility that I feel I have to keep doing.
And full disclosure, that was the part of the conversation we had with Charlie off the air a few weeks ago.
When we said, please don't stop.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm looking at texts that come in and wanted to clarify that, in fact, people can subscribe for free to Chicago Public Square, and you can give Charlie feedback. And Chicago Public Square is, in fact, visible on Facebook, if that's where you want to check it out first.
Sure.
And I'm going to...
Facebook and, I believe, Blue Sky and Threads...
Yeah, you know, I have in the weeks leading up to the presidential election, Facebook, Meta, its parent company, Facebook and Threads suppressed some of the posts that I shared, others reporting about, specifically about Donald Trump. So I have begun to, let's say, deprecate. You know, the role of Facebook, which was the go-to channel for between editions updates for Chicago Public Square, in favor of Blue Sky.
Yeah.
So I'm now encouraging anyone who likes Chicago Public Square and wants to know what's happening between editions to follow Chicago Public Square on Blue Sky, which, can I get a little technical in this?
Sure.
It has a major advantage over Twitter. Which once upon a time was you know, of great value to me and many other people. Twitter turned off its API, its automated programming interface, I believe that's what it stands for, that allowed other programs to sort of skim Twitter. And it was a valuable channel for me to find out what all the smart people I was following on Twitter were sharing. It would rank news stories by, you know, 12 of your friends have shared this. 12 respected journalists have shared this. They turned that off. Blue Sky has that. There's a free app called SILL, S-I-L-L, that people who are on Blue Sky can use. And SILL basically cuts out the noise of social media and basically serves up, 12 of your friends are sharing this on Blue Sky, 11 are sharing this, 9 are sharing this, or they shared it within the last 3 hours. And that's a major source of information for me in Chicago Public Square and for the content that I share with people on Blue Sky, because I'm following people who are smarter than I am, and I'm able then to share the news that people who are smarter than I am with my readers, followers. For instance, that's how I learned about the Washington Post cartoonist Ann Telmus, who stepped down from her job. I saw it on SILL, which was monitoring Blue Sky for me. So I recommend that, Blue Sky and SILL.
I get it. You're looking out at the blue sky from your window sill. I get it. Okay.
I think that's it.
Right. Well,
it also helps that the guy who developed SILL actually took feedback from me. I made some suggestions. He said, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So it's nice when there's an organization with a human being behind it, as opposed to the faceless, unreachable customer service that you're getting.
Like when Facebook. You say to Facebook, why are you doing this to me? We have so many friends who are musicians who've had basically Facebook to shut them down. And this is how they make their living.
Yeah.
And
with no explanation and no way to reach a human being. Yeah.
And it has increased over the past 6 months.
Yeah. Very intense. Well, you've done a great job explaining what Chicago Public Square is all about and how people can get their copy of Chicago Public Square every day. But you've also done a great job, and I'm telling you folks at the Chicago Tribune, you better buckle up, because we're here from people saying, oh my God, I'm calling on Monday.
And so are we.
We've heard from people that are paying $116 a month. We're paying $190 every 2 months.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to pick on the Trib. This is true of all the major publishers and magazines. You call them and cable providers, too. Anyone you have a subscription with, it's worth calling at least once a year. Say, what's your best deal?
And our problem is we just kind of get complacent, and it's automatically withdrawn. And until you look at it, you don't realize, whoa, what am I doing here? So
And I don't play the age card often, but I will here. Johnny and I are guilty of, as much as we embrace all forms of new social media, a day without a newspaper, or in Chicago, two newspapers on our kitchen table, is a bad day.
Absolutely.
And I don't apologize for that, but we need to find out ways to make that day a little less expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, again, congratulations with Chicago Public Square. I'm going to say right here, right now, join us in March so we can celebrate Chicago Public Square being chosen by the Chicago Reader, because it's going to happen again.
From your lips to the Reader editors.
That's right.
Let me just, are you kicking me off now? I'm just getting warmed up.
I know.
I was going to be with you all 6 hours tonight.
You hear that chortling in the background? That's Rod Brown.
Yes.
It was great to hear from you again, Charlie.
It was.
And I hope that we hear from you again very soon.
Yes.
And I'll add my voice to the chorus, too. Please don't quit. I've been following you since XRT days, and I still do.
It's my privilege.
Well, thank you so much, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie. We'll talk again soon.
Happy New Year.
You too.
Thank you.
And again, it's ChicagoPublicSquare.com. Free subscription, but if you want to support Charlie, you can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, one, two, three.
Boogum, 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 boogum now, baby, you're casting your spell on me. Now, baby, you're casting your spell on me. You got me doing funny things like a clown. Just look at me. When you wear your high heel boots with your hip hugger suit, it's all right. You're out of sight. And you wear that cute mini skirt with your brother's sloppy shirt. I admit it, girl. That I can dig it. And the ops says, boogum, 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 boogum. Now, baby, you're casting your spell on me. I say, boogum, 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 boogum. Now, baby, you're casting your spell on me.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's one of those songs I never, ever, ever got tired of. That's Brenton Wood, the Oogum Boogum song. And sadly, news just came out over the past day or so that Brenton Wood just passed away. He was 83 years old. His biggest hits were the Oogum Boogum song and Give Me a Little Sign. And his manager said that he was at his bedside. And he said his final words to his fans were, catch you on the rebound.
Yeah, his manager said, friend, is there anything you want to say to your fans? Now, here's where it gets kind of crazy. Julian, am I right? Didn't you contact his people within the past few months?
I think so. That sounds familiar.
We got on the subject of the Oogum Boogum song. And you said, hey, I've got a contact here. And you reached out, and sure enough, somebody responded and said, you know, we'll get back to you in the new year. And I thought, wow. We were laughing. Somebody had said, ooh, Oogum Boogum, and then that got you off on the tangent of the song. And he was more than a one-hit wonder, though.
Oh, he was. And I had the very good fortune of interviewing Brenton. This would have been roughly 1968-ish, and that's when I was at WLTH in Gary. And my recollection is that he was a really good, fun interview somewhere. That there is a reel-to-reel tape of that in the archives that I need to dig up and see if I can digitize.
So he died of natural causes, as his right-hand man said. He went to sleep peacefully. And who doesn't want to go that way?
But all of his hit songs were just that kind of a thing where you wanted to crank it up because it was...
Yeah.
Can you dig up... give me a little sign just for a second. Because another Brenton Wood hit, and it was just such
the best.
Good...
Well, his final words, Catch You on the Rebound, that was also one of his songs, too, Catch You on the Rebound.
Yeah.
As I said, much more than a one-hit wonder, but you'll see the headlines. They all mention the Oogum Boogum song because it's just fun to write that.
But I believe Give Me a Little Sign actually charted higher. We got Give Me a Little Sign?
Give me a little shelter if you don't want me. Don't leave me
just one thing that you should do. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, to show me that you're mine, girl. Show me that you're mine, girl. All right. If you do want me, give me a little sweet talk. If you don't want me, don't leave me on, girl. But if you need me, show me that you love me. And when I'm feeling down, wearing a frown, you'll be there when I look around. And just give me some kind of sign, girl. Show me that you're mine, girl. All right. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Up, my baby. To show me that you're mine, girl. All right.
All of Bretton Woods' hits had a strong groove and a strong hook. They were just crank it up to the threshold of pain songs.
Bretton Woods was born Alfred Jesse Smith.
Really?
That just doesn't have the ring.
Yeah.
Guess, and he was born in California.
Okay.
So guess where the name came from? The Brentwood neighborhood.
Oh.
Yep. He was kind of enamored of that Los Angeles neighborhood called mm-hmm. Brentwood, and he became Bretton Woods. And God bless him for changing his name, because Alfred is a fine name, but Alfred Smith just doesn't have the ring yeah. that a Bretton Woods did. What a good voice. Gosh. And again, as his manager said, he gave all his love to his fans, and so God just took him in yeah. a lovely way, just let him go to sleep, and he was gone. Just like that.
And he had a good career here in the States and also over mm-hmm. in Europe, too. There, if you do a search for Bretton Woods, you will find a lot of videos from European TV shows that Bretton did.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I've got his music. It's so much better than having Baby It's Cold Outside stuck in the jukebox in my mind. Thank you.
Well, there's going to be more of that, too.
No, the Oaken Bookham song.
We have a couple other versions of Baby It's yes. Cold Outside that we got to get to.
There are some things happening now that we're into a new year, and this is the start of our third year on Steve and Johnny 2.0.
Right. This is roughly our two-year anniversary, yeah. so we're kicking off
2 years have gone by so fast.
Yeah.
Gosh, I...
And Julian, you've been with us for, what, at least half of this? Because you've been with us for over a year, right?
It's been a good portion of that. Because I remember we had Andrew here in mm-hmm. his yeah. chair. Yeah. And I want to say it was April or May.
Right.
Okay. And then I jumped in.
Okay.
So, yeah. And Andrew's now in the afternoon show yeah. with Lisa.
Well, I'm okay. pausing because I just happened to... You didn't send us, you, Julian, didn't send us a copy of the guitar riff that you added to the beginning of Bob Surratt's show intro.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me.
So you want to explain that for the kids who don't know what we're talking about?
Yes. So on January 1st, New Year's Day, I worked the Bob Surratt show with host John Hansen. And I thought, well, you know, I've got this guitar with me, cleverly given to me by him and her. For Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? Let's do a little Auld Lang Syne in Bob's typical little mm-hmm. Intro sounder. So I threw a little Auld Lang Syne in the front there. And let's see if I have this here. Yeah, here is a bit of what I actually played on New Year's Day.
Not an easy song to learn either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I learned it in about 15
minutes. Stop it. And the guitar, that he's talking about is called the Enya, E-N-Y-A. And Julian, I think you'll agree, it's fun to play because it's not a big honking guitar.
Right.
So if you don't have the biggest hands in the world, you can work with that.
It's got a short scale neck and some wonderful effects that are built into it.
And it's made out of material, which means when you toss
carbon
it,
fiber.
You toss it in the car, you don't have to worry about it cracking and breaking and what's the word when it...
warps?
You know, it checks.
Yeah, it can check.
Yeah, when the varnish...
That's why, word to the wise for musicians, do not leave your instruments in the trunk in cold weather like this.
I don't even leave my cameras in the car.
Oh, gosh, yeah. No. Mm. Don't...
Okay. Dumb question, but you're the photo ace. Are cameras much like guitars? Cold weather, bring guitar in. You want to let the guitar get acclimated to the temperature inside. Then you open up the top and let it get a little more acclimated. Same thing with cameras to avoid, steaming up or fogging or anything?
I was about to say that. Yeah, sometimes when I go from... So during the summer, I see it mostly. It'll be a very cool room, maybe well air-conditioned, down to maybe 60. Mm-hmm. I'll go into 100-degree weather, and it'll fog up immediately.
Yeah.
So typically, I want to let it air out a little bit before I start shooting. Otherwise, I'll get really hazy photos, and there's no way to fix that.
Yeah. The rule of thumb for guitars, and I wonder if it's the same for cameras, if you're comfortable, your guitar is.
Yeah. I trust my cameras the way any instrument or any artist would trust their instrument.
Yeah.
Because they're my tools for success.
Sure.
Well, we will talk more about tools for success. Or are there Christmas celebrations that you're still going to be observing over the next... Because we've decided we're not taking our Christmas tree down till the 2nd of February, which is Candlemas.
Right. And I love the fact that there is actually a day that is significant to the end of the Christmas season, and that is February 2nd. And for those of you who say, well, I take everything down on the day after Christmas, fine, that's good. Yeah. But don't be looking down your nose at those of us who enjoy having some light in our world.
I'm not going to name him, but there was a neighbor of my brother's who literally, the day after Christmas, everything has to come down. That's it. I don't want to see that.
I think he got up in the middle of the night to start it so that he would cleanse the house of all the Christmas.
What a Scrooge.
I'm sorry. There are 12 days of Christmas that takes us up to Monday. The Epiphany is significant in many cultures. As we said earlier tonight, we saw our Greek neighbors were getting ready for a celebration.
And I love it because it looked like a different kind of a tree, too.
Yes,
I like that a lot.
They were decorating the house for... Greek Easter, which I think is Tuesday. Easter, listen to me.
Yeah.
Greek Christmas. I've already fast-forwarded into springtime. But a friend of ours said that she was going to keep her tree up until the end of January, and that's when you told her, well, we're going for February 2nd, that's Candlemas. She said, I've got a date and a name for it now for everybody that tells
that
me, get
Sandy
rid of
Marlisa
that.
From Jack and Jen, a terrific group in Panama City Beach, Florida.
Well, a listener said, Steve, is there audio of you singing Johnny B. Good at your wedding that you can air on the radio?
No, I don't think any audio exists.
We didn't have phones.
There is one picture that we found.
Yes.
As we were going over some old picture files.
Yes. And we didn't have cell phones at the time. That was 40 plus years ago. People weren't standing around, you know, making video. We had a professional photographer, and I think we got a shot of you.
Yeah.
But that's a different story. We'll take a break. We'll come back here on WGN.
You're as cold as ice.
Yes, you are.
You're willing to sacrifice.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Cold as ice in many of the parts of our listening area. Fortunately, the immediate Chicagoland will not be getting some of the nasty stuff that mm-hmm. is happening farther south of us.
I just heard from a friend in PCB where they're talking about freezing temperatures. They're wrapping the faucets. And
if you are in the panhandle, 30 degrees in the panhandle feels worse than 20 below zero in Chicago because you are so close to the Gulf and that dampness. And I know we've got Lake Michigan here. There is a difference, a different kind of dampness that you get.
It's bone chilling.
It's that kind of cold. The dampness permeates your body and goes into your bones.
Now I'm aching just talking about it. Thank you. I'm also busy answering questions from people who want to know, again, what are those ultrasonic pest control doohickeys that we talked about? Because we were saying you should hit the hood of your car before, especially if your car is parked outside,
yep.
before you get in and drive away, because you could have feral cats, you could have possums, you could have whatever, rodents,
yep.
skunks, hiding under your warm car.
They're, like everybody else, they're trying to get warm.
Yep, yep.
So if your car is parked outside, be very careful.
Remember the time with our Bonneville that we had parked outside? We opened the hood. Now, the car would start. For
yep.
some reason, we opened the hood, and I am not exaggerating when I tell you the entire area was a ginormous nest
yep.
that had been methodically built around the engine.
Because
I mean, it was really impressive.
At that point, we were leaving our Bonneville outside. Your dad's car was in the garage. Our other car was in the garage.
Right.
And we drove the other car more than we did the Bonneville. So the critters were able to get under there.
Squirrels.
And over the period of time.
Yeah.
And somewhere we have a picture. We took it up to Jeff and Larry at McCormick Auto in Skokie. By the way, wonderful. If you need car repair and you want honest people, I can't tell you the number of times we've taken a car up to them. And they've said, well, if you really want to do that, fine, but you don't need it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're honest. So ask for Jeff and Larry, McCormick Auto Care. But we took a picture, and somewhere we have it, and it is literally a squirrel's nest.
Huge. Huge. All of that lint that I put out for the squirrels from my dryer,
yep.
they use that very well under the hood of our car.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that. I take the lint because we have dozens of squirrels on our block. We have... Mm-hmm. And they haven't hurt anything because we don't have people that feed them. So it's they survive on their own. And they're fat. Their tails are big. So that means it's going to be a cold winter. But we were told it's absolutely squirrels. And I felt bad about taking away their home that they probably built over a matter of months. And we finally realized what was
under
the
hood. But we felt good about reclaiming our car's engine.
Yes, yes. So people have texted and said, well, what are those things that you talk about? The ones that we use that work for us. All
yeah.
I can say is it's worked for us for years.
Because there's some people who say, oh, they don't work. Okay.
Fine.
Maybe for some people, maybe for you, they don't work. Literally. It's been about 2.5 years since we installed these in a car that we have parked outside in our carport in Florida.
Where there are...
And we have never had a problem since we started using these.
Feral cats roam the street looking for a place. You walk out and there will be cats laying on the hood of your car because it's warm up there. They'll be on the top of your car. They sit in our rocking chair and rock.
Yeah,
we hear
do.
Them rocking at night. So we have them and we have skunks and we have possums and we have lots of raccoons around there too.
But somebody did want to know, did they cause any problem for cats, for dogs? And no, they don't.
No.
The only thing we saw when we plugged these in, we saw little critters.
Lizards.
Scattering. There is some, it's a frequency that is too high for us to hear, but apparently it gets right into their ears and bodies
yeah.
and scares them away. And
we're told that it does not affect your cat or dog. So it's the Bell & Howell Ultrasonic Pest. That's ULTRASONIC, Ultrasonic Pest. Out of 459 reviews on this one, well, actually, here's 5,414 reviews, 4 stars out of 5. I mentioned that a number of snowbirds in Florida and in Arizona will use them when they have to leave their car parked for months. And that's what we do, too. And so it's just our own testimonial. So filling in the blanks for you. It's the Bell & Howell Ultrasonic Pest Detractors. And they are, we're told, available at Ace as well as Menards.
Smile, an everlasting smile. A smile can bring you near to me. Don't ever let me find you gone, 'cause that would bring a tear to me. This world has lost its glory. Let's start a brand new story now.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. It's only words, but for 2025, boys and girls, we have the list of banished words from Lake Superior State University. For years, we used to talk to one of the head honchos at Lake Superior University. They annually issue their list of banned words and phrases.
And it's not just a couple of guys at the university that make this decision. They put out the word in fall.
They put out the word.
If there's a word that you would like to see scratched from our lexicon, tell us about it, and the top 10 words will then make the list of the banished words for the upcoming year.
It's words and phrases.
Phrases, yes, yes. So their take is, a new year brings the promise of fresh beginnings, but it's also the perfect moment to reflect on the words and phrases that may have worn out their welcome. Lake Superior State University proudly reveals the 2025 edition of its banished words list. It's a quirky tradition that dates back to 1976, which means we literally interviewed somebody from the university every year that we were on the radio. So for 27 years, we talked to them. We used to get the scoop on New Year's Eve so that they would reveal.
They would unveil it on our show.
Before it was being published. Oh, my gosh.
What?
The public relations director, Bill Raby, is still there.
He's still, oh, we got to get him on the air.
He's the guy.
He's the guy we used to talk to all the time, Bill Raby,
I can't believe this. He and his colleagues, delighted word enthusiasts, were the first list of words banished from the Queen's English for misuse, overuse, and general uselessness. So again, literally thousands of people chose these words to be words that should be banished as we move into the new year. Period comes in number 10. Now, you may say, well, what's the point of that?
Well, okay, I will give you the person that I think of when you say that, because it's used to exclaim, okay, it's my opinion.
Period.
I think of Nick DiGiulio, who would say, blah, 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 that movie is awful, period.
Right. So it's punctuating.
Yeah.
It's punctuating verbally what we all know to be a period, but no, you have to say it. So overuse has turned this into a period. We are ready to end. Number 9, utilize a classic offender. Utilize proves that longer is not always better. Why complicate things when use works just fine? Okay.
Yeah, that wasn't on my radar, but yeah, okay.
That doesn't
if
upset
it trips
me.
Your trigger.
Yeah, 100% comes in at number 8. Is it possible to be over-enthusiastic about retiring the phrase 100%? Absolutely. Its overuse has left no room for nuance or doubt. A phrase predominantly nominated for its overuse, some felt it was simply not applicable. Since when should a percentage be used to describe your agreement in a conversation? I think they were kind of overthinking that.
Mm-hmm.
Skibbity. Is it skibbity, Julian?
I think so.
Yeah, I know. S-K-I-B-I-D-I.
I've seen it.
Skibbity.
And I forget what it is. It's short for something.
Well, no, it's a viral word which has resonated. Thank you, TikTok. Agatha from Denmark explains, nobody cares about a skibbity toilet. Nobody cares about skibbity fizz or skibbity taxes. At this point, nobody even knows what it means, and it just annoys people. So stop saying skibbity. That's number 7.
Okay.
Oh, here's one that aggravates me. Sorry, not sorry. Oh, I don't know why that half-hearted apology just, oh, it just rubs me wrong. Sorry, not sorry.
Well, because using it like that, it's not really an apology.
No, it is rude, it's disingenuous. Sorry, not sorry. Banished word enthusiasts recommend just saying what you mean, or in at least one case, showing a little kindness. One person that nominated sorry, not sorry says it's really trying to hear, and it's giving people another reason to be jerks to one another. And that's true. Isn't it?
And Lord knows,
yeah,
we don't have enough reasons for people to be
to
jerks,
be jerks to one another
over the past couple of years.
All right, if you know, you know. Also, IYKYK.
And you know who uses this? Just a ton.
Mary June,
our former program director,
yes.
Mary June Rose.
Yes, I'll send this to her.
Yeah,
from your email account. Not mine.
Oh, thanks.
I still view her as my boss. So. Internet slang and texting abbreviations are often fan favorites of banished word submitters. Cryptic and exclusionary. This phrase offers little clarity or substance. If you know, you might agree it's time to let this one go. IYKYK. Something that you see in texts in particular, and a lot of times on Facebook. On that subject, don't bother to wish a person a happy birthday if all you can write is HBD. Come on. HBD.
I'm up to here with abbreviations in general.
I know.
Why not just say what you're talking about? Don't make me look for the abbreviation dictionary to figure out all of the abbreviations that are used.
And you honestly cannot be so busy that you think of someone's birthday that you cannot write the word happy birthday instead of HBD.
I cannot stand when people use abbreviations or acronyms like that because they're too lazy to type or speak.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, granted, I mean, I'm older than most of the people who use that method, but I do find it quite annoying.
Well, the people we're talking about are would be ranked as seniors. They're 60s and 70s, and they're IYKYK, and I'm like, really? Well, if you know, you know.
Maybe they're trying to blend in.
That's it.
Or in an article, if they're describing, and this happens a lot in tech articles, or in articles where they're talking about a corporation mm-hmm. or something, so they'll start using the letter abbreviations for for whatever it is.
Yep.
Oh, come on. Just say what you mean.
Or just don't even go there if you don't have time to. All right. Number 4. Dropped.
I have never been a fan of this from day one. This is one of those words that And I think it first started, I want to say, 70s, 80-ish.
Music
and
business.
It was referring to the day that a record was released.
Right.
And by the way, I don't care what the form is, they are recordings. They are records. But dropped, oh, gee, aren't you hip?
So instead of being released or introduced or offered up, things are dropped. Once edgy, once cool, it's become more of a letdown. Whether it's an album, a trend, or a product, this term has fallen flat, so let's just dropped. So say the folks at Lake Superior.
Makes me think of talking about record releases.
Mm-hmm.
One of the appearances Elvis did on the Ed Sullivan Show, and he was talking about his latest record release. And he said, rather than release, he said, my latest escape. And it was just...
As in release?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I noticed that didn't catch on, though.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break and come back with 3, 2, and 1 of the words banished for 2025 on WGN.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Welcome to Julian's first Dealer's Choice bump for 2025. Oh, is that Paul Simon?
And toss it in the trash.
Oh, yeah, what is that?
After midnight, all the time I'm spending, it's just for working on the rewrite. That's right, and I'm going to turn it into cash. I've been working at the car wash. I consider it my day job, 'cause it's really not a paid job, but that's where I am. Everybody says the old guy working at the car wash hasn't got a brain cell left since Vietnam. But I say, help me, help me, help me, help me, thank you. I had no idea that you were there. When I said, help me, help me, help me, help me, won't you thank you for listening to my prayer?
I love the guitar riff on that.
Was there a harp in the background, too?
I don't think so.
Maybe it's a harp guitar.
No, I'm trying to think of what it is. It's not an... I think it's a combination of guitar and... Is it an oud? I have to look it up. But I love that sound. Paul Simon does such creative stuff. No, that's not a harp.
Really?
No. That's more like the high strings on Muriel's harp guitar.
Yeah. I just like saying oot. We have a neighbor that actually professionally plays an oot.
Yeah, we do.
We'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
I don't know this Paul Simon song, and I can't believe it.
I'm trying to think of the name of it, because I've heard it once. What is it, Julian?
Well, I figured with us talking about words in 2025, and one of the lyrics being working on my rewrite, I figured we would rewrite the American Laconic.
Nice. Okay. By the way,
you had to work to get there, but it kind of works. Okay, so now we're down to the top three, and this is from the Lake Superior State University 2025 Banished Words List.
They've been doing this since the late 70s, and they were regulars on our show at the first of the year for over 20 years. Number three on the list, words that should be struck from our language in 2025. Thank you, Taylor Swift. Because of your Era tour, Era has caught on. And I was unaware of this.
I was too.
If you're a new parent, you're in your parenthood era. If you're engaged, you're in your engagement era. If you're a newlywed, it's your newlywed era.
Talk about overthinking.
I know. I did not know this. Julian, you young whippersnapper, do you hear that often, era?
What era are you in, Julian?
I'm so lost. When I think of Taylor Swift, honestly, when I think of Taylor Swift now, I think of Roger Badish's dog.
Okay.
That's the Taylor Swift I thought of.
Okay.
So we're barking up the wrong tree?
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, if somebody said to me, well, you know, I'm a newlywed, I'm in my newlywed era, I would look at him like, really?
Yeah, I would think you could stop it. I'm a newlywed.
Yes.
That kind of makes the point.
He's in his fatherhood era. Really? And I don't blame Taylor for that. I know she's not your favorite person, Julian. But
she was saying, this is a tour celebrating the different eras of my career.
Yes.
Which made absolute perfect sense.
That's right. And it gave all of her fans an excuse to wear a different outfit because they would dress for their favorite era of Taylor Swift. Number two on the list is Game Changer. How many times can a game change before it's no longer recognizable? This phrase, often used to describe anything remotely innovative, is as tired a well-worn cliche as anything out there, so it's number two, Game Changer.
Okay.
Maybe we just don't talk to enough people.
Well, there's that.
Or I pick and choose the things that get under my skin. And Jim from Chicago. He is commenting on something, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. When I say thank you, and I get no problem in response, that kind of irritates me, because I'm like, not a problem because it's your job.
Particularly, most often it happens in restaurants.
Yeah.
And how about rather than...
How about?
It's one of the new words and phrases for 2025.
Let's embrace that. How about?
How about just thank you? How about you're welcome? Or my pleasure?
That, interesting.
Or whatever.
Or walk east until your hat floats.
Yeah,
you know, something
works.
Other than no problem. All right. Number one. I feel like a drum roll here. Cringe. Cringe. While cringe once packed a punch, it has now overstayed its welcome.
So it's cringeworthy?
It's cringeworthy. Overuse has dulled its impact, and ironically, using it might now cause the very reaction it describes. Saying someone caused you to cringe or stating that you cringed at something is a pretty easy and proper way to use the word. Hearing someone say, someone is so cringe, makes me cringe.
Someone is so cringe?
Yeah. We don't spend...
Julian, have you ever used that phrase in your life?
Hearing it used that way just makes me cringe.
Yeah.
We don't spend enough time on TikTok. I think that's it.
Good.
Yeah. Because I really...
I see no reason for that to change.
I think some of these words catch on, just like goofy things that you do in your world because it's been done on TikTok. You want to prove it. You want to make your own TikTok. I have to think cringe. Cringe is not a bad word. I mean,
that didn't bother me one way or another.
And it also is very descriptive. I mean, if something makes you cringe, that's the word. Mm-hmm. Shudder, shake, scream, shout, gnash my teeth. See, I can come up with all those other things. But
could I add another category?
Yes.
To the 2025 banished words list?
Mm-hmm.
I think there should be a separate category for probably, reality talent shows.
Okay.
I want to throw something at the screen every time I hear, they're going to sing for their life. No, they're not. They're going to sing and try to make a good impression and get lots of votes and win the contest. They're not. This has nothing to do with their existence.
We're not going to kill them if they do poorly.
They're not going to be executed if this doesn't
happen.
What
was was it Schwarzenegger that was in the... it was Stephen King, based on a short story. It wasn't Schwarzenegger. Oh, gosh.
So you say Stephen King and Schwarzenegger, and I think of the book Thinner.
No, he had nothing to do with that. Stephen King did, as Richard Bachman.
Yeah, but wasn't Schwarzenegger in the movie version of that?
Not thinner, no.
Okay.
I am... I'm going, no, no. And inside I'm going, really? Are you sure? I'm not 100%. There I go, using that word that's been banned for 2025.
Well, IYKYK.
If you know, you know. That's right. See, it takes more time to say IYKYK.
It does.
Can
it
we
does,
put a period on this show?
You know, if my nieces and nephews were listening right now, they'd love this.
Oh, really? They're saying, that's me. I'm in my what would their era be? Would it be teen or preteen era?
Teen and young adult.
Oh, young adult era. Okay. Well, you can be skibbity. Have you ever heard that word, Gabe, skibbity?
I have not.
Thank you. Good. So we have different ages represented here, and we're all like, really? Skibbity?
Well, Gabe is about to enter his news era, after which we're going to talk technology with Patrick Crispin, and who knows what else. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We still hear from some people every time we play that who think something just went wrong with their computer because of that the Windows error sound.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Windows error, we are segueing into the land of cyberspace with the Director of Educational Technology of Keck School of Medicine of USC. That would be your Dr. Patrick Crispin, who was seen on New Year's Eve in our house as we were all toasting the new year.
With kid-friendly champagne.
Which,
right?
I think was some of the best champagne we've had.
That was fantastic.
I love the fact that Joseph said, quite seriously, is this kid-friendly? It's too good. I said, oh, interesting. But that was fun, and it was wonderful to have you here, but you're back in California, and you and young Joseph had a bit of an outing today that we're curious about. What did you do?
We decided to try, Christine wasn't brave enough to do this, to try a Waymo. If you aren't aware about it, Waymo is Google's self-driving car project, currently running in Phoenix, San Francisco, and parts of LA. So Joseph and I today drove down to Los Angeles Union Station and hailed a Waymo and drove it across town to Pink's Hot Dogs and had lunch at Pink's Hot Dogs and took Waymo back to Union Station. So in other words, I got in a car today and there was no one in the front seat. Like, we were in the back seat, seatbelt on, and it drove through Los Angeles traffic and really did a good job.
Was it fun or was it impressed? Was it scary? I mean, honestly, how did Joseph react to all of that?
He was a little concerned because obviously, you know, he's never been in a car without a driver. Of course, neither have I. He kind of is going, okay, I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to get out. But honestly, after about 2 minutes, he and I were both looking at our phones going, okay, this thing can drive. I feel you kind of forget that you're in a driverless car and you kind of just sit back and enjoy the ride if you can. And I will tell you, everything that could have jumped out in front of us did, and the Waymo handled
really?
It perfectly. We were going to an intersection, coming up to a stoplight, and a car literally cut us off, just jumped into our lane. The Waymo, within a split second, turned on its turn signal, swerved out of the way, and honked. It was just like, okay.
Whoa.
We went down a neighborhood street, and there were some oversized delivery trucks parked on the road, and you know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
And Waymo had to go into oncoming traffic to get us around it. It did it perfectly. It was just like, okay. The other cool thing about this is it works just like if you've used Uber or Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
You have an app. You just say, I'm here. I want to go here. and it gives you the price. And I think Google's kind of subsidizing it right now, because it was about a third, or no, two-thirds of the price of what it would cost if I had taken the same trip in Uber or Lyft.
So I think we told
Uber or Lyft would have been $30, and this was $20.
Wow.
I think we told you that a couple weeks ago, Gino Solomon was out on the West Coast doing some celebrity stuff, and he did the same thing and posted a video, and he said it was as seamless as what you're describing. Did you guys happen to do any video while you were doing it?
We did a couple of videos, and I'm going to post them online. The thing is, we kind of had to figure out how to get into the car when it pulled up, because the doors are locked, and you have to open up the app and unlock the doors.
Really?
And then when we got into the back seats, we were trying to figure out where the seat belts were, because it was kind of hard to see. But other than that, once you get in, it's really cool. So I'll send you the videos, and you're certainly welcome to share them.
So when you got to Pink's Hot Dog, did it leave you, and then you had to call another Waymo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there were enough of them tooling about L.A.
They're all over L.A. The thing is, it's not all of Los Angeles. If you know Los Angeles, it's basically Santa Monica Boulevard down to maybe the 10, a little further south of the 10, from the L.A. River out to Santa Monica. And then if you add in Westwood and Culver City, that's where it goes. So it doesn't go to LAX, doesn't go to Dodger Stadium, it doesn't go to Pasadena. Doesn't go to Beverly Hills or Hollywood, surprising.
Wow, yeah.
But it does in mid-city and downtown and Santa Monica and Culver City. They're all over the place. And 4 million people rode in autonomous rides in Waymo last year. Average trip was 4 miles. It's relatively safe. True story, by the way. There was a Waymo in downtown Los Angeles the other day, and somebody got into the steering wheel and tried to steal the Waymo.
What?
And the Waymo, because there are cameras all over the thing, the Waymo said, "Dude, what are you doing?" And the police showed up and said, "Are you kidding me? Are you really this stupid?" Yes, he was.
Wow.
Well, from everything we've read, Waymo is the most successful of the driverless car operations. And I wonder, just from a technological standpoint, because we've talked a lot about things being hacked, what's your take on the hackability of Waymo or any other driverless operation?
I don't know how you would do it, because the reality is this isn't just using a camera. It's using a whole bunch of cameras all over the car, plus radar to see around vehicles, plus LiDAR. All going back to the central AI system.
Ding, 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 jargon alert. LIDAR.
And I always forget what LIDAR stands for. I think it's a light. It's a light radar.
Okay. Huh.
And it's a light detection and ranging. So what it does is it's pushing out sort of beams of infrared light or invisible light, and it's a laser scanner GPS receiver all built into one that kind of creates a 3D world around you. So it's not just a camera, it's actually doing true representation of the world around you. So when you're driving in this car, you're looking down at the screen and it's showing the people on the sidewalk and exactly the people on the sidewalk. It's showing the cars. It's showing cars that are like 10 cars ahead of you, because it's got radar to see through the next couple cars in front of you.
Whoa.
And then LIDAR. So it's not just what you can see, but what you can sense with radar and what you can get with the cameras. It's all put together. And that's the reason why I think this is really great technology. Unlike a camera-based system, which, you know, could be blinded by,
right,
you know, you have multiple tools that are being used to create 3D models of the world. And I think it just becomes a little safer.
That is wild. So before we take a break for news, you ended up at Pink's for hot dogs. You had a few hot dogs when you were in Chicago. Joseph has ranked the best hot dogs.
According to Joseph, now I'm going to preface this, Joseph likes hot dogs with ketchup on it. So you have to take this with a big grain of salt. And Christine's in the room here and she also likes them. Joseph prefers Superdog. mm-hmm. as number one.
Okay.
Then Portillo's number two.
Okay.
And Pink's a distant number three.
Hmm.
If you were to talk to Christine, Christine would actually change that order of number one and number two based solely on the fact that Portillo's serves Coke and Superdog serves Pepsi, and Christine loves her Coca-Cola. So.
And they let you have ketchup without raising an eyebrow at Portillo's.
Exactly.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Ah, AC/DC, Cyberspace. By the way, very quickly, before we return to technology conversation, I want to address something we were talking about in the last hour.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about Stephen King and...
I was trying to think of a movie that was Schwarzenegger, and it was germane to something else that we were talking about.
And I went down the wrong road because it was not Thinner, which was written by Stephen King under his Richard Bachman pseudonym. Pseudonym?
Yeah.
Okay. And there was a different movie that Schwarzenegger was in called The Running Man, which was also written under King's Richard Bachman pseudonym. So I was kind of in, you know, I was on the path, but yeah. I took the wrong lane.
Yeah. It wasn't cringy. And that ties in with the words banned for 2025. Cringe is one of those words. Well, speaking of words, there's some big tech news this week. Apple has agreed to pay $95 million to settle a class action lawsuit. The lawsuit alleged that Siri was violating Apple users' privacy. Is that oversimplifying it?
That's pretty much the story. And I guess the headline would be, if you think that Apple is always listening, keep listening. Here's the thing. This is one of those stories where I can tell you what the truth is. You're not going to want to hear the truth because it's going to go against what you want to believe. So I'm not going to attack your belief system. You can believe what you want to believe here. Let me tell you the facts, and then we can kind of let you walk away with this.
Okay.
Apple is going to pay $95 million in cash to settle a proposed class action lawsuit claiming that when you were using Siri and having the conversations kind of recorded, because that's how Siri works, mm-hmm. that Apple was, in fact, sharing your recordings with people working for Apple and maybe third-party marketers and advertisers. Mm-hmm. So you would say the words, I'm not going to say it here, but H-E-Y and then S-I-R-I to activate it. And that would then cause Siri to go and say, okay, here's the first couple words before that. Here's the next couple words after that. And it kind of recorded those. And some of those recordings were listened to by people at Apple for quality assurance.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is it goes and says, okay, I'm going to play back what this person said. Here's what Siri thought it said. And somebody at Apple says, is that right or is it wrong? It's a goal to improve Siri. The other thing was it might have been shared with some third parties. Apple has denied the allegations. They're actually claiming, quote, there are no facts, much less plausible facts with this charge. But they kind of just said, you know what, we're going to pay $95 million to settle this lawsuit because this has been going on for 5 years and we want to go away. $95 million, to put it in context, is about 9 hours of profit for Apple. So they just, it was couch cushion money for them.
Yeah.
Settlement still has to be go to a judge, which is going to happen. So there's nothing you can fill out yet. We'll tell you later this summer when you can. But if you had an Apple device that had Siri on it any time between September 17th, 2014 and December 31st, 2024, and you're willing to attest that Siri listened to a conversation or Siri activated at a time you didn't want it to activate and you weren't actually saying here, you weren't saying H-E-Y space S-I-R-I, but it just came on anyhow. You could be entitled to up to $20 per device,
and a limit of 5 devices.
Yeah, but that's assuming that nobody else applies. It could be $20 device. It could be 2 cents per device. The lawyers are going to make $30 million off of this. The reason why I say this, everybody kind of believes, and Christine's behind me right now, that your devices are listening to you and spying on you. And this kind of leads into that saying, see, I knew it. It's all these things are listening to me. And it's like, if you're a technologist and you understand what's kind of going on, it's like, yeah, okay, this story, Apple was sharing these quality assurance recordings with third parties without disclosing it. That's not the smartest thing to do. So yeah, I can see why they would need to do this. But it's not that Siri or Google or Facebook or anything else is constantly listening to what you're saying and creating ads for you or selling that information every, because think about that. If that were true, it would be recording 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and all of the different things that you were talking about during the day that you said, well, I need any flat sousaphone. Oh, no, my tires are flat. Oh, no, I need to go to I'm really interested in teaching Joseph.
Then why does the A-flat sousaphone show up in my Facebook feed?
The problem is the A-flat sousaphone may show up in your feed. However, all the other things you talked about didn't.
Okay, so I understand. What's going on?
Either this is really, really bad, or audience participation. I'm going to say this right now. We can all listen, all of your devices, and I want you to watch your device over the next 24 hours, okay? I'm going to say this. I am desperate for teaching Joseph a new instrument. And I think the accordion is the greatest instrument for my son to learn. I don't know where to go to get accordion information. Mm-hmm. Gosh, if somebody could send me accordion information.
Stop.
I would sign up. I would sign up right now and have Joseph take accordion lessons. I have lots of money to pay for accordion lessons. But where can I get the ads for accordions? Accordions, accordions, accordions. I guarantee you, everybody, for the next 48 hours, you won't see a single accordion ad because it's not listening.
Okay, can I take you in a completely different direction? Here is the problem I have with this. As you said, this amount of money would be maybe, what did
$20.
You say? Nine hours
of profit.
Okay. I have a problem if Apple is saying, no, we really didn't do it, but we're going to settle because we're tired of this. No, I'm sorry. If you really didn't do it, and this is not even a drop in the bucket of the money you're making, then you say, no, we didn't do it, and you take it to its conclusion.
And let me take that a step further, if I may, Patrick. If this does not happen, why is it on your iPhone you can disable Siri data sharing by going into your settings? And you can go to privacy and security, analytics and improvement, improve Siri and dictation, and you can turn that setting off. So why is it there if it's not being used?
But it's not being used the way you think it's being used. It's not being used to give all the advertising companies the ability to spy on you and figure out what you want. It's there really for quality assurance. It's really just there to make sure that the words that you're saying to your smart devices are matching what the smart devices hear and that you're getting the answers that you're looking for.
And again, isn't this the distinction that in my world Apple would have taken this to the logical conclusion. Does Siri listen to some words? Yes. Do we check those words for quality control? Yes. Are we selling them or sharing them with third parties?
Well,
no. Then fight it and don't settle it.
They did not inform users explicitly. I think most of the techies knew that this was happening behind the scenes, and it was like, okay, yeah, this is how you do quality assurance. Mm-hmm. But they didn't explicitly tell users out of the gate that they were doing this. So that's the reason why they're writing $95 million. It's like, yeah, we probably should have been more upfront that people at Apple could hear when you say, blank Siri, what's today's weather?
Blank Siri, what?
Well,
I'm not going to activate it, but yeah.
I also think that they should reword the data sharing function on your phone, because as a casual user, I might think, oh, well, that means data's being shared. It just seems like a logical conclusion, and you can turn off that setting. And as an Android user, I was curious if there was some way that I could turn off a setting like that. And indeed, Android devices, you can prevent Google from saving your voice interactions. You go into your settings. I did that today, and lo and behold, there you could go with your history setting and
well, and if you've got a smart TV, you can tell the remote not to listen to what you're saying. So it won't listen to your voice. It will. You will just have to put everything on your smart TV remote.
Right. We'll come back with more Tech Talk with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Patrick Crispin. And I'm cracking up because Patrick has, he always sends us his show notes, and it's an indication of some of the things we're going to talk about, and I'm watching because we've been talking about the banned words and phrases for the year, and I'm watching. Patrick is editing this as I'm looking at it. Johnny, can you see it on your screen?
No.
Look at what he was just editing under the Facebook, Instagram, AI friends. Patrick was editing during the newscast.
Oh.
You want to explain what you just did, Patrick?
Well, we're going to talk about Facebook and Instagram AI friends. So what I did was I took the 10 words that have been banished and put them all into one. So I explained this story. And to wrap up the story before we even begin, here's what I wrote. When the latest AI technology was dropped, it was hailed as a game changer, ushering Facebook's AI era. However, that Meta had to utilize certain buzzwords, it was so cringe. Meta clearly has no skibbity Ohio riz, leading to discussions, sorry, not sorry, about whether it's truly innovative or just a fleeting trend, 100%. IYK, but users agree that we should utilize original strategies rather than follow passing fads.
100%.
Period. Nicely done, Patrick.
Very well done.
I was enjoying that.
I mean, that works perfectly.
Okay, so let me explain what's going on.
Patrick, what's going on?
Have you ever thought that your Facebook friends could, like, not be real and might actually be AI bots?
Yes.
More and more
like
recently.
Yes.
It turns out that could be happening. Starting back in September 2023, Meta used AI to create 28 fake Facebook and Instagram users, basically personas, profiles, and they had fake pictures and fake bios. And when you went and talked with them and chatted with them, they would go and chat with you back, but it was an AI doing it all. Mm-hmm. So what AI was looking to do, or what Meta was looking to do, was trying to find a way to get users to interact more with Facebook and Instagram. They're just looking for a way to increase engagement. That's the whole game for Facebook and Instagram. The more you're using their site, the more ads that they can serve you. So I said, well, why don't we do this? We'll use AI and we'll create some fake people, and the fake robots can reply to each other and reply to other people and go out to other people's feeds and whatever. They did about 28 of them, and it turned out that all 28 of the accounts were managed by humans, and Meta ended up killing the project, despite what the media has been talking about, basically because all the people who came across these said, this is really strange, and never interacted with it. So they were universally ignored, all these fake users. And again, the whole point of this was to get you to engage with Facebook. If you're not engaging with it, it failed. So Facebook didn't stop this project because it's a really creepy idea that there are going to be robots who are pretending to be people. That wasn't what stopped them. It was, you didn't believe it well enough, so we have to go back to the planning stage and come up with some other way. That's not to say that there aren't other third parties that are using AI to create stuff. And so the answer is, your Facebook and AI friends could be AI friends and not real friends.
So there's nothing to stop them from doing that's what you're saying. From AI characters being, could I do that? I mean, could we? You have to be a real smart techie to be able to do this.
Actually, no, it's not. There's actually something called Meta AI Studio, and you can create an AI chatbot there that could then take on a persona, and you could then share that with other people if you want to. This is kind of following in the footsteps of character AI, where you can create sort of AI buddies or even AI girlfriends and boyfriends who chat with you. And
oh, that's sad.
It is kind of creepy. But
so again, the bottom line to this is, Facebook didn't stop it because it was dumb, bad. You know, they stopped it because it wasn't successful.
It didn't work well enough, so we're going to go back. And now everybody in the media in the past couple of days has been going, this is the creepiest thing I've ever heard. What are you doing? And Facebook said, oh, don't worry about it. We shut these things down, these 28. They were shut down last summer. And the last couple we left up, but accidentally. But we haven't posted anything in the last 10 months. But no, we turned these off. Nothing to worry about. And it's like, yeah, you turned it off because nobody fell for it this time.
Speaking of social media, I'm signaling for a little bit of a turn. I don't know if you were listening to our conversation in the last hour with Charlie Meyerson,
who is a longtime
friend. He was a former news director here at WGN, and Johnny's known him forever. He is the publisher of Chicago Public Square, which is a wonderful news site. But we were talking about social media, and he was talking about how he's migrated from Twitter/X is kind of still with but not paying as much attention to Facebook and Threads as he is Blue Sky. And he says one of the things that he really likes about Blue Sky is something I hadn't heard about. It's a Blue Sky app called SILL, S-I-L-L, which allows you to see what some of your friends are talking
what's
about
trending.
And what's really it's kind of like a trending-ish app. Are you familiar with this?
I'm not, but I'm going to check it out. This is it sounds like it's something that kind of rounds up for both, because Blue Sky and Mastodon are sort of based on the same underlying architecture, that it could get information from both of those and put it all together. I want to find out more about this.
Because Charlie said that he finds it really invaluable to see, okay, is something kind of trending or are there some things?
He used to go to Twitter, as we did, whenever there was a news story to see what the people that we respect in the business were buzzing about. And he said, that just changed. So over in Blue Sky, now you have the ability to see what other, in his case, journalists are talking about and give you a sense of, you know, what is in fact trending.
Or as he said, he can monitor people he feels are smarter than him and see what they're paying attention to. And I guess it's a separate app that you use with Blue Sky called SILL, S-I-L-L.
Yep. And if you go to SILL, SILL.social, you can sign up.
Very good.
Okay, we're going to have to check this out.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, when we talk a little bit about a story that we found ourselves talking about around the dinner table a couple of times, it's this week's hacking story. Oh, golly. And we've decided in 2025 that's going to be a feature every time.
Every
Patrick
time we talk with Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay with us. More coming up as we do some tech talk here on WGN.
I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's caught a virus. Now I've got a cold. I got many friends in Nigeria. I got a girl in Belarus. They say send me your credit card numbers and everything will be cool. I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's caught a virus. Now I've got a cold. I got firewalls and passwords. I got usernames and codes. But my laptop got a virus. Now I've got a cold.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And yes, we're going to turn to the weekend hacking. But just before we do that, a text at 312-981-7200. Every time the word Siri was said during the previous discussion, my phone listened for something.
And that's why you were spelling S-I-R-I, right, Patrick?
I apologize for that.
Well, no. I mean, you were saying H-E-Y-S-I-R-I. So,
but I also said, yeah.
Yeah, you did. We won't say it again. Thank you, 630, for checking in with that. So, being hacked, one of the topics that came up last week, and I remember saying to you, why isn't this a bigger story? The Treasury Department. News that the Treasury Department dealt with a hacking.
This should have been headline news all over the place.
Or should it have been, Patrick?
And we record all of the network newscasts, and the only one we saw report on it was ABC.
Yep. So, should it have been on all of the network newscasts?
I think it is network news. China, as we know, is trying to conduct espionage against the United States, and they're going to try to go in every sort of unlocked door they can find to get information about the United States. And within the past couple of days, the government had announced that Chinese state-sponsored hackers exploited a vulnerability in a third-party vendor called Beyond Trust. And they gained unauthorized access to unclassified documents in Treasury Department. And the breached offices are the Office of the Treasury Secretary, that's troubling. The Office of Financial Research, which is, okay, that's not terrible, but I mean, that's fine. And then the Office of Foreign Assets Control. This is scary because the Office of Foreign Assets Control administers and deliberates economic sanctions against countries and groups of individuals. Mm. So having a look at the deliberations of the Office of Foreign Assets Control gives our adversaries a new way to attack America in the future, because they can say, okay, well, I know what this office is going to do. I know their procedures. Here's how I can skirt those procedures and violate the trust of the markets. Key thing is documents accessed unclassified, and it doesn't look like the Chinese hackers are there in the system anymore. But this is, again, the companies that are out there, everybody has third parties that you hire to do things for you. And Beyond Trust is a company that was hired by the State Department. It's a huge software contractor, serves the Treasury Department. About 3 out of every 4 members of the Fortune 100, so 75% of it, 20,000 companies. And there was, I'm not going to get into the technical details of it, but there was a security flaw in a remote support tool that allowed the hackers, the Chinese hackers, to reset account passwords.
Whoa.
This has been fixed. It's been fixed on all of Beyond Trust cloud servers immediately, and a patch has been released for the self-hosted versions. But this is, again, the whole point of third-party security risk management is important, and you kind of up. You do need to have these companies, because Beyond Trust, they're going to bounce back, and I'm glad they caught this really quick. But sure, the fact is, if you're a business, you need to be worried not just about the speaking, but the security that your third parties are taking on your behalf as well.
By the way, Patrick, just FYI, within roughly the past minute and a half, you started breaking up a little bit, and I mention that only because if there's something else going on in your building or something, it's been within the past minute and a half.
I apologize.
My favorite line regarding Beyond Trust was 8-year-old Joseph listening to our conversation.
Yes.
And he said, well, then that should be called no trust. And he was so serious. He was like, why? This is no trust. Rename them. And I thought, yeah, you're right. Let's be really angry about this. But he was taking it all in.
It's not trust.
Yes.
But it's not trust. It's beyond trust.
Beyond trust.
That's true.
You're focusing on trust, but they're beyond trust.
Beyond trust. That's true. So is there anything new about the Salt Typhoon story?
Yeah, when we talked, the original idea was that there were 7 companies that had been hacked. It turns out that there's 9. T-Mobile is one of them. AT&T and Verizon have announced that, yes, we were hacked, and we are proud to announce the Chinese hackers are no longer in our system. Remember, when we talked, the Chinese hackers were still in a lot of the systems.
Right.
So AT&T and Verizon both have come out and said, we've got the hackers out. The thing for us to do, this seems to be a targeted attack against government officials. For you, me, and everybody else, just keep an eye on your phone statements and see if there's anything that jumps out. But I wouldn't worry much about it. This really was an attack against the government.
So I can't call Verizon and tell them that I think that $7 increase in our bill is as a result of the Chinese. They're not going to buy that. I still don't know why it went up magically $7 as of the first of the year. But before we run out of time, I understand that there's something new that we should talk about. Double click jacking.
Yeah, and this is something that only exists theoretically, but it's starting to get a lot of attention because it can happen to you. We've already talked about why you need to be careful when you click on hyperlinks, especially unknown hyperlinks, because you need to be afraid of malware.
Mm-hmm.
There is a new sort of clicking technique, and it doesn't exist in the real world yet, just theoretical. But the way it works is you're clicking on something, and it's tricking you into clicking twice. So it could be like a CAPTCHA or something like that.
Yeah.
And what's happening is you're clicking on one screen, and behind the screen, it's opening up another screen, and you don't know that you're clicking on the screen behind that's saying reset my password or transmit all my money to Cuba or whatever. So that first click removes the overlay, and the second click activates a hidden malicious function. And that allows people to access accounts that they shouldn't access, to do unintended transactions, to steal data. If you have a blocker that pops blockups, this might not actually stop this from happening. There are some tools that you can install on your computer that in your browser. There's one called NoScript. The other one is called NoClickJack. These are browser add-ons that kind of protect you from this. But the big thing to remember, and kind of going back to what we said over and over again, is just be skeptical of unfamiliar sites. If you aren't used to going to a site, or you get an email or something and there's a link to it, don't click on something that you don't know about, or just don't interact with anything that's suspicious or untrustworthy, and don't trust anything.
And this is not a case of if you closed out your browser that you were initially clicking on, that you would see another browser behind that.
Nope.
As sometimes happens, but this would not happen in this case.
This could be a pop under window is what it looks like. And so you've seen pop up windows. A pop under window is where, and it's recording the click on that first page and sending it to the second page, but you don't know that it's being done. So that's why NoScript and NoClickJack are good tools to add to protect you from these sorts of clickjacking things. So this is a double clickjacking.
Let me go back to something we've talked about, alternative browsers. Are there any of the safer browsers that we have talked about that would be less vulnerable to this?
Not that I'm aware of, not yet. So this is one of these new things where it just got announced, and we'll see more about this in the next couple of weeks as the bad guys figure out about it. Hopefully, you'll see something in Facebook and with Chrome that's going to prevent this at the browser level. But for right now, you're vulnerable, which is why you have to be careful about clicking on links that you don't know where they came from.
Can I put the NoScript tool on my phone to protect me?
It depends on the browser on your phone. On an Android, yes, I think you can.
Okay, because I'm using Chrome.
Yep.
So I can use the NoScript, and the other tool is
NoClickJack, and neither of those have spaces in it. So NoScript is a browser extension. So as long as your Android your Android Chrome allows you to do browser extensions, you should be able to do this.
Well, let me hold you on that, because both Johnny and I use Chrome. Would we be safer on our Android phones using another browser like Firefox?
No, because this is going to be a script the whole scripting part of this is how browsers work. So changing browsers doesn't change it.
Wow. Is clickjacking a new term? Has it been around and now we're just talking about double clickjacking? Because I'm not familiar with the term. I mean, it's explanatory, self-explanatory.
It's been around. It's not something that we see a lot of, but it's where you click on something and it takes off and takes you to someplace else. What we're used to seeing are these links that you think are a good one. You're going to get a lot of is the fake toll road text messages.
Yes,
where it says Illinois Tollway .co .. pay me .. Russia .. I'm a scammer .. But you see Illinois Toll Road .co at the beginning of it, and it's like, okay, well, this must be Illinois Toll Road, and you click on that. That's not a clickjack. It's just a bad link.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, there are some scripts that can kind of mask what you're actually clicking on. So that's why NoScript and NoClickJack are really important.
Really interesting. Well, it's going to be an interesting year, 2025, no doubt. Yep. Patrick, as always, thank you for your time. We've got about 15 seconds. What was your temperature today in Pasadena?
You don't really want to ask that question, do you?
No, I don't.
You don't want to know?
No,
you don't
I
want
really
to know
don't.
It was... It's going to be 69 tomorrow.
Oh,
no,
hush.
We really don't want to know that.
Good
no,
night.
No. Give Joseph a hug from us.
I shall. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
That's Dr. Patrick Crisman.
Lister says, I'm going back to my landline.
Yeah.
And I'm going to carry a foot phone for emergencies. That's it.
A foot phone. Okay. I like that. Oh, we got a lot more coming up. Stay with us.
Cold outside.
I've gotta go away.
I can call you a ride.
This evening has been.
I'm so glad that
so
you dropped
very
in.
Nice.
Time spent with you is paradise.
My mama will start to
I'll
worry.
Call the car and tell him to hurry.
My daddy will be pacing the floor.
Wait, what are you still living home
so
for?
Really?
Your driver, his name is Murray.
Maybe just a happy
dream. Oh, we're both adults, so who's keeping
what
score?
Will my friends think?
Oh, I think they should rejoice.
If I have one more drink,
it's your body and your choice.
Oh, you really know how.
Your eyes are like starlight now. To go.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
Well, Murray, he just pulled up outside.
I really
King and Johnny Putman. And that's John Legend and
Kelly Clarkson. Nice combination.
And apparently John Legend got some flack from that, part from the daughter of the writer of Baby It's Cold Outside, who didn't want her father's lyrics being tampered with.
Frank Loesser was the writer, and I thought he did a darn good job. I mean, there's some humor. The driver's name is Murray. He's waiting for you outside. And it was a nice little flip on the whole controversy, about Baby It's Cold Outside. So he defended it. He said he revamped the lyrics with a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And he did go on to say that he didn't want to be preachy. He said, I never, ever have disparaged the old version. I've done it for years in my shows. Mm-hmm. The 1944 duet features an unrelenting man trying to convince a woman to stay the night because of bad weather, despite her repeatedly saying no. The original was written by Frank.
But it's a flirty no.
Yes.
In the original versions.
It won the Academy Award for Best Original Song in the film Neptune's Daughter. I did not know it won the Academy Award. And I don't know Neptune's Daughter either. We'll have to ask your brother.
That's not the one that we saw that we were very disappointed in?
No.
Which one am I confusing this with? We saw it a few months ago on TCM.
The woman who was a fish.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Wasn't it Dick Powell?
Was it Dick Powell?
Oh, golly.
No. And the thing that ticked us off.
Your brother's yelling at the radio.
The thing that ticked us off was the lead character was unrepentant in his immediate love for this mermaid.
Right. And his wife was aware that he was in love with someone else, not realizing that it was a fish.
Yeah.
What ticked me off was the mermaid swam all over and did a great job swimming, but her hair was never wet. She had hair down to her waist, and it was never wet. Talk on it. They're shouting at their radio right now.
So feel free to shout or text 312-981-7200.
Well, quickly, let's look up Neptune's Daughter.
I think Neptune's Daughter was Esther Williams, I believe. Williams, who we ran into when we were out in California.
You're right. It was Esther Williams. 1949. Technicolor musical romantic comedy film released by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
And I think I saw that with my mom.
Red Skelton, Ricardo Montalban.
Oh, yeah.
Betty Garrett, Xavier Cugat, and Mel Blanc. I've got to see this.
I saw that at the Avalon Theater. What year did that come out?
1949.
Okay, so I would have been 6 years old. My mom took me to see that at, I'm pretty sure it was the Avalon Theater on the south side of Chicago. Because I remember Esther Williams, and I remember Technicolor.
It was
I remember Great Popcorn, too.
The second film in 1949 for Esther Williams to perform with Betty Garrett. They had previously done Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Although she initially rejects an offer by Joe Backett to become his business partner at the Neptune Swimming Suit Design Company, aquatic ballet dancer Eve Barrett changes her mind when she considers the publicity potential of the job. And somehow they get to Baby It's Cold Outside. So back to John Legend. He said he was using a sense of humor. He's never disparaged the original. He said he wanted to include the line, it's your body and your choice. He thought that was, without being preachy, that was appropriate in the song. And he calls the controversy his from day one. He said, it's interesting. People think we've gone too far speaking up for women's rights. He said, I don't feel that way. And he said, the bottom line is Frank Loesser's daughter, Susan, is in fact, she was described as being furious about him doing this. He said every time he gets played, she still gets paid.
Of course. She gets royalties. She gets writer's royalties.
Nothing but respect for her dad and for the original. And so, you're going to get paid for it. I guess Dean Martin's daughter also kind of got in a bit of a hissy over it.
Because Martin who did he do it with? It was Dean Martin and...
She said... Well, this is good. She said, he should write his own song if he doesn't like this one. But don't change the lyrics. It's a classic, perfect song. And he's just taking away all the thunder from the song.
Bleep.
Martina McBride, by the way, with Dean Martin.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What? No, that can't be.
What year was that recorded, if it's Dean and Martina McBride?
Uh-oh, your brother just texted... Good grief, you guys. William Powell.
Yes, William Powell.
Mr. Peabody. So I had the Powell part right. Mr. Peabody and the Mermaid.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Lee.
Thanks, Lee.
He's yelling at his radios. He's clamoring about the bedroom looking for his phone so that he can unplug it and text me. Thank you, Lee. I knew.
Or so he can unplug it and turn us off because he's unhappy with...
Well, no. He got to set the record straight. Lee, you should come do the show with us. In fact, we will have him on as we get closer to Oscar time.
Yes, we get closer to Oscar time. By the way, 872 area code says, the Avalon, my man. great theater. And
773 says, I wonder what that songwriter's daughter would say if Weird Al did that song.
Yeah. And 847 Erica, this is interesting. This must be a new listener. Stephen Johnny, the guest who spoke of driverless car in California, was the most interesting and pleasant man you've ever had. What was his name, please? Thank you for having him speak on the subject. Happy and healthy New Year to you both. Longtime WGN listener. Well, that that pleasant man was our regular guest.
For 20 years.
Patrick Crisman.
Every Wednesday night for 20 years. I can count on one hand in 20 years the times that he missed a Wednesday night.
And now on Stephen Johnny Show version 2.0, he joins us every other week.
He literally grew up with us on the radio.
We're going to take a break, and then we're back with...
A little sports between the sheets.
And the is not for sports between the sheets. It's for the Bears. But more about that coming up.
The Bears are really bad. This season's been so sad. 10 straight games now. The Bears have been one. The Bears are true at all. But this year they have made it pretty tough. 10 losses in a row, I've had enough. Sell the team. Watch Thursday night football. Didn't think that it was asking all that much. To hope to watch the offense score a touch. Down maybe. But no, the Bears suck. This city stood by this team. But no win since that Hail Mary. Wake me when next season's bigger. On some
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yes, one more game until this bleep show's done. Da Bears and da Packers. And Gabe, the best thing I can say about this is at the end of this game, the Bears season is over.
Let me start by saying that was the best song yet. One of the few bright spots of this losing streak that we've had is the creative music, that's for sure.
What was that a takeoff of?
Blinded by the Lights by the Weeknd. I might have gotten the title wrong, but it was by
really?
The Weeknd.
I think you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but Let me start by saying this. For those you Bears fans listening who are religious, let us pray that we mercifully end this season with as minimal casualties and as least embarrassment as possible, so we could just quietly go into the offseason licking our wounds, and let us pray that hopefully they get this next coaching hire right. Mm-hmm. That'll be that's the biggest ask of all that, but that is the biggest request out of all that, and an even bigger ask is to get through this game. It would be a win, I guess, but I don't think it's going to happen.
And let's hope that Caleb Williams escapes with the fewest amount of injuries possible.
Again, that goes to the minimal casualties prayer that I put out there.
Now, I'm looking at an article, an NFL article, about the three ways the Bears could beat the Packers. And when I saw that headline, I went, huh? So number one.
Forfeit.
Number one, the Bears pass rush, because they have a respectable 15th in sack percentage. There's more to rushing the passer than sacking the quarterback, though. So they say number one reason. Number two, turnovers. The Bears will need something good to happen to give them reason to believe. Turnovers are the ticket, and the Bears are more than capable of collecting a couple of takeaways. And number three, don't forget week 11. Now, week 11, wasn't that when they played the Packers? The last time?
Let me double check that schedule.
The standings suggest there's an enormous gulf between these teams. However, the Packers needed a blocked field goal to beat the Bears 20-19 11.
That was probably the most. Honestly, I thought that loss was more heartbreaking than the Hail Mary in Washington.
Yes.
I still say, if I were a betting man, and I may find a way to be, I would find out what the Las Vegas line is, and I'd bet $100 on the Bears, because if you win, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
And if you lose, you're going to owe somebody a lot of money.
Well, but if you can afford $100, I'd do that.
But going back to the 3 points that Johnny mentioned, the pass rush certainly has not been productive these last few weeks, so that'll be easier said than done. Turnovers, that's also been hard to come by ever since Matt Eberflus was let go and was no longer calling the defensive plays. But again, you look back to that first game, and then the Bears came to life, and the main thing was Caleb Williams leading this team down the field to put them in position, to hopefully win the game. And say what you will about whether or not they should have ran one more play to try to get a closer field goal. I've always said the bottom line is, if that field goal still gets blocked, regardless of how close you are, the Bears still lose the game regardless. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's just, getting out of this game healthy and just being able to go into the offseason and start figuring everything out.
Actually, you could start with getting out of this game.
Yes.
Remember, I said last week, if the whole team mysteriously comes down with the flu and can't play, I don't think that would be a total loss. But, of course, that's obviously not going to happen. But, bottom line is that, we Bears fans, we've been suffering for far too long. I mean, granted, there are teams that are in worse positions than we are, I think. New York Giants are pretty bad. Jets, both New York teams are, downright awful. But, here in Chicago, it's, when you take a look at, overall, how many bad seasons have we dealt with, certainly in my lifetime. I mean, I can count on fingers the amount of times the Bears have gone to the playoffs. So, mm-hmm.
And is this one of the worst stretches for Chicago pro teams ever?
On New Year, I think it was New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, I posted on social media that for the entire calendar year of 2024, all Chicago teams combined had a down year. Yeah, the Cubs had a decent record, but overall, all the city's pro teams, when we're talking Bears, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, Blackhawks, Sky combined, Fire, and the Red Stars.
Awful.
Overall losing record, and this is the calendar year, so this counts the Bears' season finale last January, which was also in Green Bay against the Packers.
Oh, that's right.
It also takes into account the Bulls' schedule from January of 24 to December of 24, and so on and so forth. When I posted that, it was a graphic that I caught on TV, and I took a quick picture of it and posted online. There was confusion as to what that was, and I had to explain to a couple people who commented that it's for the full calendar year, not just a particular season. Right. So, And I, as I've said, you know, in the last few weeks, it just seems like ever since the, you know, the Cubs won the World Series, it just seems like Chicago sports has been in a downward trend, with the exception of the Sky winning the WNBA title in 2021. It just seems like all Chicago teams have just been in this downward spiral since, you know, the Cubs won the World Series.
So pathetically stupid.
Well, and we woke up Hamp just in time.
Yep. Hey, Hamp.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, you going to wake up to watch the game?
I'm going to try, but, you know, I don't make any promises. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. I don't see the Bears winning. And I don't want to see how bad it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, the Packers are at home. And, I mean, like I said, their playoff spot is already solidified. They got like the 6th or 7th seed in the NFC. So there's nothing that they can do to improve their seeding. This is just about winning the rivalry.
How the hell is that even possible?
You know, OB, we've been asking ourselves that for I don't know how many years now.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to listen to these guys.
Yeah. The hell did you think was going to happen, Eberflus?
Eberflus.
Well, you can't blame him anymore. He's not here. But I will try to make it a point to listen to Hamp and OB later today.
Always.
Because I want to hear when, you know, I want to hear when they start yelling.
Oh, what?
That's interesting.
Okay. I'm going to take you in a completely different direction for a second or two. Because we didn't get the chance to talk to you about this earlier. What were you doing New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, I was actually with some in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
And although I did get a chance to watch the Fiesta Bowl between Penn State and Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
Very good game to watch, might I add. Watched that and then watched Channel 7's Countdown for New Year's. And then it was just, you know, having some good food and, you know, listening to some music and
we watched Channel 7's Countdown, too.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I had a problem with is Johnny and I can remember the days when every television station was doing a countdown. And
I was having that exact conversation with my wife and another one of her relatives about, and you know, in the last few years it had been 7 and 5,
right? Mm-hmm.
And then remember a couple years ago Channel 9 had one, and, I do remember very vividly.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the fact that just about every, as good as Channel 7's Countdown is, I hate the fact that every other Chicago TV station has given up New Year's to Channel 7.
I think a lot of that has to do with probably cost, because you know you're live for one. And then the logistics is also part of it, because then you got to find a place to do it. Because remember, they were doing it at, you know, various, you know, night spots.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
I did enjoy what Channel 7 did when they had the performances on top of the merchandise mart.
That was kind of cool.
That was neat. I had not seen that before.
The big thing that's really, you know, kept Channel 7 going these last few years is the dancing at the beginning of the show.
So
that's always fun to watch. But
And they did a great job this year. I was frustrated, though, that with the amazing fireworks display that I only saw from friends who were down here and posted video. We didn't see that on television. We didn't see all of these barges up and down the river with
the
fireworks.
And we only got a couple shots of the fireworks up and down the river, which looked wonderful, but Channel 7 only did that a couple times.
Yeah. I think they were mainly focused on the Navy Pier ones, probably.
Right.
But just like you had mentioned, that there was a time when every local station, at least the four big ones, were doing a New Year's Eve special every year, and I'd like for that to happen, because it's, you know, it's fun to see what different, you know, the different performances and everything that are going on.
Well, back in the day, that was part of the logic we used with WGN Radio Management when we said we want to start doing a New Year's Eve spectacular, because no other radio station in the country was doing a whole night long
live
with countdowns from every time zone. We were the only ones in the country that did that.
Yeah, New York wasn't doing it. No one in L.A. was doing it, and I think that's still the case. It's just, you know, you plug in some recorded stuff, and you just assume people are going to find their entertainment someplace else.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's not the assumption that most people are probably going out on top of that.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break and come back here on WGN.
Well, I guess I better get along home.
But Marilyn, you can't go now.
I can't. Why not?
Because, baby, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my mother will start to
beautiful
worry.
Watcher.
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I pour.
Neighbor's mind free.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
tree?
Cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
To break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
All to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I move in
at
closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
All
baby,
that
it's cold outside.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Dean Martin from a live broadcast. And who was that singing?
Marilyn Maxwell.
Was that Marilyn?
I found it on YouTube when he did it on the Martin Lewis show in 1949.
Wow.
Because he references Marilyn at the beginning. And a listener from 319 area code sent us the information about Dean with Marilyn Maxwell. In fact, it's still the very best version, so you'll be happy that you heard a little bit of it tonight. It was released in eight recordings in 1949, including well-known versions by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Jordan, Hot Lips Page and Pearl Bailey. Hot Lips Page.
Yeah.
And Pearl Bailey, and Dean Martin and Marilyn Maxwell, and has been covered literally dozens of times over the years.
I want to take a second and address a couple texts pouring in from the 872 area code. This is after I had talked about going to the Avalon Theater, and this person says, the Avalon, pardon me, we're both coughing. This person says, the Avalon, my man. And then this person says, what parish were you from? I was born in St. Lawrence, then went to Felicitas, and then says, you're St. Bride's, aren't you? I can tell by dialect. And I didn't know St. Bride's had a dialect. When did you move out? We moved in 75. Okay, so let me address a couple things. First of all, St. Felicitas, I used to love the old St. Felicitas Church. That's a church that, even though the parishes, the schools that I went to, the grammar schools, were Our Lady of Peace and St. Bride's, but growing up, our favorite church was the old St. Felicitas Church. That's where, and my dad loved that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just this small, little, really nice church. And years later, they built a new church, and it was a big, humongous church.
Mm-hmm.
Where I recall hearing the best sermon I ever heard in my life. July day. Hot, hot, hot July day. Church is packed. The priest goes up to do the sermon, and everybody's thinking, oh, it's so hot. Oh, and because the new church had recently been built, no air conditioning.
Oh.
And they had all the windows open.
The character builder.
And the priest just looks around, and he says, if you think it's hot here, just imagine how hot it is in hell. And that was his sermon. He turned, and the whole congregation almost burst out into applause, not because of the humor of it, but because it was so brief. Okay, that means we can get out of here sooner.
But it really told the story. It was great.
It was perfect.
Yeah. So was St. Lawrence a hospital on the south side?
No, it was actually a parish.
Oh, parish. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
But to answer the question, I went to Our Lady of Peace and St. Bride's, but St. Felicitas was our favorite church.
And you left sometime in the 60s because you went off to work.
To radio.
To radio.
And I moved down to, moved out to East Gary when I was working at WLTH and then down to Indianapolis.
By the way, the listener said Monsignor Walsh is who you're talking about.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
I remember Monsignor Walsh.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. And your dad left that neighborhood in 70 because...
My dad worked at Southwark Steel, took an early retirement in 1969, and he'd been... prior to that, he'd been spending some time on the Gulf Coast. He went to Gulfport, Mississippi, but eventually wound up in Panama City Beach, Florida, where after spending years working in the steel mill, he went down to Florida and... wound up being the city clerk for Panama City Beach for 10 years, and then the city clerk for Callaway, Florida, for 10 years. So I love my dad's quote. He said he moved down to the Gulf Coast for the weather and stayed for the people.
Mm-hmm. That also reminds me of the bumper sticker that he was not happy about when they came out with the bumper sticker. You've seen our beaches, now go home.
Yeah.
And he's like, really?
Yeah.
No, we got to be better than that.
By the way, we're running out of time, so a couple things. One, next week we have a little bit of a late start time. We will be starting at 9:30, and next week we are going to have an in-studio performance from a man that we have been friends with for years.
Haven't had him on the show for 5 years. It was New Year's Eve.
Has it been that long?
It was New Year's Eve, 2019 into 2020, that Ronnie was in the studio with us.
We're talking about Ronnie Rice. He will be live, or as live as he gets.
Oh, he gets pretty lively.
In the studio with us next week.
After 10 o'clock.
And we're going to have... also, we'll talk cars with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And something a little different for tonight with our last call. We are going to usurp, is that one the right word?
I'm not sure.
Usurp the option for you to call tonight. Don't call tonight. Only because there is a guy that we've wanted to talk to for a long time, mm-hmm. and we heard that he has called a couple times, and we didn't realize he's been a Facebook friend for a long time. We have never talked to him in person, but he has a fascinating career, and we're really excited about the chance to talk to Pat Powers, who has been with a radio station in Webster City, Iowa, KQWC. He's been there for 46 years.
God bless him.
And he's just we become Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. He's up at this hour of the morning, and we thought, well, heck, let's spend a few minutes talking with Pat about broadcasting and who knows what else. So, but I see that the blue light is starting to flash, and I can hear the Zamboni in the background, so that means we better...
I hope that Zamboni clears up some of the dust in here, because I've got a cough. You've got a cough.
We have both had a cough.
It's been crazy. And I don't feel sick. I just feel like...
That's because they took all of the ice and they moved it out to Wrigley Field last week. For the Hawks.
No, that
game
wasn't,
at Wrigley Field.
No. Don't even go there. It was a bad loss. Oh. We don't even want to talk about that.
Well, so I'm saying that's why they moved the ice from here.
Stop
out,
it.
Out to,
don't go there.
Okay.
It was painful. Another loss. And a listener pointed out, if the Bears win tomorrow, you think it's cold now? Hell's got to get really, really cold if the Bears win, because it's going to freeze over.
Point. Okay. We'll take a break and back with our last call. Coming up, stay with us at WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day. My friend.
Oh. All right, people.
Yeah.
It's time to go home.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Yeah. Losing time.
We're ready to head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
Nope.
And for those of you new listeners, that is the closing song by Red Peters. You can hear all of it if you go to YouTube, but you ain't never going to hear all of it on this here radio station unless we've decided it's our absolute last night. And this is the time of the show when we get to our last caller. And as we said, we're bringing in a last caller. We found out that he's been calling the past couple weeks.
And he listens.
And he regularly listens, and he's up at this hour of the morning, and we didn't realize that that he was calling in the past couple weeks, and we wanted to talk to him. And we have been Facebook friends for a while.
Yes.
But we've never talked with him. He's been for 46 years. He's been with KQWC Radio in Webster City, Iowa, where he is the news director, and his name is Pat Powers. Hey, Pat, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Steve and Johnny.
Hi, Pat. I'm kind of nervous talking to you because you're a rock star.
Why are you nervous with me?
No, this is
easy to get along.
It's a pleasure catching up with you. Have you literally been at the same radio station for 46 years?
Yes.
God bless you.
August of 1978, with about 11 different general managers, 7 owners.
Wow. And
it's just been pure amazing.
Oh, what was your first gig with them? What did you do?
All had a music show in the afternoons and some weekend news. So that's how I became the news director for the radio station.
Hmm.
And one of the many things.
Yes, really.
But one of the many things that I love about following you on Facebook, in the wee hours of the morning, Pat will be traveling into the radio station, and he'll post some pictures. And God bless you, Pat. I love that KQWC is a local radio station that informs the community during emergencies, because during some of the worst weather and other situations, you have been there. Sometimes you've got a cot that you've stayed 24 hours, depending on what the situation was. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
Well, yes, Steve. Now, for example, when we have blizzards, and thank goodness we haven't had one, but I feel sorry for the people in the southern part of the land of Lincoln, Illinois. And also now in Missouri, they have a blizzard warning going into effect at 3 o'clock this morning, and the winter storm warning still raging on. I would spend the night at the radio station because I live in the town of Duncombe, which is about 10 miles west of Webster City. And that's where I grew up in, Duncombe, and graduated from Webster City High School. But, yeah, I do have a cot here. And one of the most memorable stories was when we had an ice storm back on Halloween of 1991, about 34 years come this fall, and we were on constantly talking with the Webster City manager, the mayor, and officials with the power company, informing us when is the electricity coming back on. Well, we had a power outage in the rural sections for about 4 or 5 days, but Webster City got its power back on by that late Saturday night in the Webster City. So, yep, it was a hectic time when we have the ice storms, but so far, so good.
Yeah.
Last year, I did spend some time in mid-January because of all the snow we had.
Yeah, I was knocking on wood because we've been so lucky. And, yeah, it's cold, but that's a lot different than dealing with a blizzard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pat, I have to hand it to you. I love the fact that you took a page from Paul Harvey. When you go to work, you dress to go to work.
Yes.
So maybe you're not being seen by hundreds of people a day, but I think it affects your outlook, your approach to work, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And approach to life, you might say.
Well, yeah, because Paul Harvey always said, look, no one sees me, but psychologically, when I put on this tie, I put on this jacket, I say to myself, you're going to work. I sit differently. I speak differently. And I thought, yeah, okay, I need a wardrobe. allowance from the station to work all night long.
So let me ask you, where did you get your work ethic, your broadcast work ethic? Where did you get that from?
Oh, it was from a man that worked with the KCWC for 36 years. He was the news director and general manager. He started to work with us back in 1950, Steve, and retired in 1986. And just for my parents' work ethic, so I come into work as, well, actually, I would be sleeping right now, but I'm just like talking to you good folks. But you got to come into work with a positive attitude, nothing like, don't feel down or anything. You have a job to do, and you have everything in front of you to make this the best day possible for that listener.
Did the 16-year-old Pat Powers think that he wanted to do this with his life? Was this your dream?
You might say that, yes. I was actually, Johnny, you know, I was 19 when I started to work at KKWC. And here I am. I'm 65, turning on 66, coming up this March.
Well, you're a kid.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When you were in high school, were you on the newspaper? Were you doing journalistic things? Were you a stringer for the football team or anything?
I read the daily announcements over intercom.
Oh.
Morning and afternoon, read the school announcements.
Okay, that's where it started, when you got behind that microphone and you went, oh, they're listening to me, right?
Right.
What is it about KQWC that has kept you there for 46 years?
The community, that's what happened there, Steve. The community and the Hamilton County up in north central Iowa, and a lot of support. It's nice to meet the people about from wherever I go, whether it be Leon's Pizza, Big Eatery in Webster City, or anywhere else in Webster City. It's so nice to meet people each time I'm there.
Well, you are beloved. Didn't you have a...
Oh, thank you, Johnny.
Well, you are. I mean, it tickles me. Because New Year's Eve, you had the distinction of doing what, Pat?
I was the MC for a Webster City New Year's Eve gala held at the Briggs Woods Conference Center south of Webster City with the group Dirty Champagne, based from the Des Moines area. This was their second appearance. And we've been doing this gala now, Johnny, for the last 3 years in Webster City. We had over 100 people attending. It was a benefit for the Chamber of Commerce in Webster City.
Well, it's just a thrill to finally get to talk to you, because we get to communicate.
Well, it's a thrill to talking to you, too.
Well, I have to tell you, though, out of all of the things that you do, the hardest thing that I think you do is your call letters. Gosh, that's a mouthful. KQWC. It's hard to say that quick. KQWC.
KQWC.
Well, yeah, you've been doing it for a few years, Pat. Come on.
You have an unfair advantage over us,
right,
Pat.
Well, it's great to talk with people that are wonderful, great, and me, though.
Well, you know, if you find yourself in Chicago when you come here to celebrate your birthday and you want to have some deep dish pizza, you got to come hang out with us in the studio, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it.
That's the plan.
All right. We'll do it. Pat, Happy New Year, and thank you for stopping by with us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome, Johnny and Steve.
Thank you for listening, too. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's really a kick to talk to him, because we have been Facebook friends for a couple of years now.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And my hours are so weird, so it's not unusual for me to see Pat posting a picture of what the city looks like at 2 or 3 in the morning as he's heading to work.
Yeah.
And that's for people who may not understand, there are parts of the country where, well, this is taking us back to when we started on the air tonight, where the local radio station, emphasis on local radio station, really is a citizen of that community and makes a real difference.
Yeah. In fact, if there... I'm sad that there's no longer a WMRO because it was, to me, Well, it was obviously life-changing.
Yeah.
But it really did service the community in a way that us big guys can't do. You experienced that at WLTH.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness there's some good stuff that's going on over in Northwest Indiana.
Well, still WJOB.
Yeah.
And Jim Dietlow. Boy, is he doing a great job with that radio station, keeping it local and embracing all of the latest technology as he does it.
Absolutely. And documenting it so that it can be, hopefully, learned by other people who want to service their community.
Well, this has been a very fast 5 hours.
I know.
Seems like we just sat down.
No, again, next week we're going to start just a wee bit later, and Ronnie Rice, the one and only, will be joining us in studio.
I know you almost did the same thing that I did, because Bob Collins always used to do Ronnie Rice. Sounds so nice, got to say it twice. On that note, thank you guys for hanging out with us. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next week.